podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. This show originally aired on the Premier Network's 200 stations coast to coast, Saturday, June 6th, 2020. This is episode 1701. Enjoy. The Tech Guy podcast comes to you from TWiT's LastPass studios. You're focused on security, but are your employees? LastPass can ensure they are by making access and authentication seamless. Whether they're working in the office or remotely, visit LastPass.com/TWiT to learn more. This episode of the Tech Guy podcast is brought to you by SimpliSafe. SimpliSafe believes that simple is safer. And that's exactly why SimpliSafe is the home security for right now, when feeling safe at home has never been more important. Go to simplisafe.com/twit and get free shipping and a 60-day money-back guarantee. And by Worldwide Technology, WWT's outcome-based approach to agile software development and engineering delivers value to customers early and often. Are you ready to solve your toughest business challenges with custom software produced at the speed of your business? Visit WWT.com/TWIT1 and let them make your vision a reality. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here. I am the tech guy. Time to talk computers, the internet, home theater, digital photography, smartphones. We got your smart watches. We got your Infinite Overdrive, all of that stuff. I made that up. We don't have that. 8888. I don't even know what that would be. It sounds techie, though. 8888. Ask Leo, the phone number. 888-827-5536. That's toll free from anywhere in the U.S. or Canada. If you want to talk high tech, I want to talk high tech with you. This is the toy store, you know. The fun stuff, the light stuff, but you know, not completely inconsequential. It's all a part of the big world out there. So it's both fun and consequential. Nice, right? Not like sports, which is just fun. Oh, I know it's consequential. Do you? but we don't. You know, I don't cover murder and mayhem either, which is nice. Used to. Don't like that. Don't want to do it. Not going there. Not gonna do it. Happy graduation, class of 2020. What a lousy time to graduate from high school or college. Noon Pacific tomorrow, YouTube's class of 2020 commencement address. June 7th, 12 p.m. Pacific time. Wow. It seems like there have been a lot of these, or maybe everybody's been talking about this one. I don't know. President Obama, Michelle Obama, Beyonce, the K-pop group BTS, Chloe X Halle. Is it Times Halle? Is it? I don't know. I'm not with it. CNCO, Phineas, Lady Gaga, former Defense Secretary Robert Gates, Lizzo, and the New York Philharmonic. Together. That sounds awesome. Matt Luma, Katy Perry, the CEO of Google, Sundar Pichai, former Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, Megan Thee Stallion. I hope one right after the other. That would be fun. And now, Condoleezza Rice says, I'd be happy to introduce Megan Thee Stallion. Malala. And that's not all. That's not all. Camila Cabello. Andy Cohen, Misty Copeland, the ballerina, Bill and Melinda Gates, actor Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Jenna Bush, Hasan Minhaj, Mr. Kate. I don't know who Mr. Kate is. Probably a YouTube guy, right? I'm hoping. I don't know. Natalie Morales, Billy Porter, Kelly Rowland, Michael Strahan, Taylor Swift, Kerry Washington, and the cast of Euphoria, and many more. How long is this going to be? Anyway, if you've got a graduate in your life, and I know many of you do, first of all, congratulations. I feel like we should say congratulations and condolences. The class of COVID-19. Oy. But I think everybody, you know, feels like you kind of got robbed. You don't get to walk. You don't get a nice ceremony. You don't get to wear your gowns and caps and stand in the beautiful sunshine of on a June day and celebrate your 4 long years of hard work and all of that. That's really important. So I'm glad they're doing this. It's a day away from now, 25 hours from now. And it's on YouTube. It's a YouTube original. You know, the YouTube originals, it's interesting. YouTube, do you remember YouTube for a while thought, we're going to be like a TV network. We're going to hire big names, bring them in, do episodic scripted shows, that kind of thing. The biggest success I think they had was Cobra Kai, the Karate Kid reboot, which was really great. And they did a couple of seasons. Probably, I'm guessing, I think I've seen numbers, it says one of the most successful YouTube series of all time. A lot of viewers, they canceled it. They even have finished season 3 and they go, no, we're not going to do it. We're going to give it to somebody else. Let's the CW do it or whatever. We're not going to do it anymore. And wow, you know, to turn your back on something hugely successful. But I think it's really YouTube is saying, you know, I know we should have known better. People just want, you know, the usual YouTube fare. You know, Tide Pod eating and things like that, you know, the kooky stuff. Actually, YouTube is, you can't characterize YouTube, can you? It's all sorts of things. I mean, there's great tech reviews, great content. I'm on YouTube. This is on YouTube. Everything I do is on YouTube. So I shouldn't belittle it. There's amazing things on YouTube, including how to do almost anything. I think for a lot of people, that's what YouTube really is the how-to channel. It's like, well, how do I make potato pancakes? And you just go on YouTube and there it is. You know, there's probably 30 videos. I've been looking at videos on how to make masks. I've been making, you know, cloth masks for family and friends and myself, of course. And initially there were one or two videos, not a big topic on YouTube. Now there's hundreds. You watch one mask video, you're going to get 100 recommended to you. And in fact, I make, you know, I sew a mask that's very much, you know, the one I found on YouTube. So there. It's all there. Some sad stuff, though. Some stuff goes on YouTube, is hugely successful, and then disappears. I'm thinking of John Krasinski. I'm looking at you, John. You know, he's the cute guy in The Office. Now TV's Jack Ryan. Krasinski, because, you know, no actors are really working right now. Not in the usual fashion, anyway. And I'm thinking maybe his management company, somebody said, John, why don't you do a YouTube thing? And you've probably seen it, SGN, Some Good News. Hugely successful. This is the power of television versus the power of YouTube. YouTube is great. You can make money. There are people making millions a year off YouTube videos. You can gain notoriety. You can have success. You can build an audience. You can even make just a nice living. A lot of people doing that. But YouTube's one thing, and it's so fragmented, and there's so many different... Compare it to TV. Even the smallest amount of time spent on TV makes a celebrity. You know, it's very powerful. And the proof is John Krasinski comes to YouTube, creates a channel called Some Good News. It was only a month ago, or not much longer. Immediately over 1 million subscribers. He now has 2.5 million subscribers. He's done 8 episodes. Every episode has multi-million views. When the Office cast reunited for the Zoom wedding, 12 million views in 3 weeks. That's TV numbers, and that shows you a TV celebrity can come in there and just blow everybody away. So he does 8 episodes, and he gets tired of it or something. Or I think he said, I never really intended to do it for very long. And he has sold it. He sold it. And not only did he sell it, I don't know if it's still going to run. I think it's going to run on a television channel. Not only did he sell it, he sold it without him. Viacom CBS bought it. I guess they're going to run it on CBS. He said, it takes more work to produce the show than it looks like. Yeah, every YouTube creator says that, right? Don't think this is easy. It looks, you know, if you're doing it right, it looks like it's easy and fun and homespun. He says, I have other things I'm going to have to be doing pretty soon, like Jack Ryan. Of course, you remember The Quiet Place? He wrote and directed that. Writing, directing, producing, all those things with a couple of my friends was so much. I knew it wouldn't be sustainable with my prior commitments. I'd love to keep doing the show from my office forever, but it wasn't sustainable. And there was an auction, and Viacom won the bidding rights. I don't know how much they spent. Can you imagine? The thing is, it's just it's like buying, and Apple did this too. They bought Carpool Karaoke, right? But they didn't get the star of Carpool Karaoke, James Corden. How much is it with it? See, this is where networks, I think, have a blind spot, because they really don't like stars. Because you know what? Stars are expensive. Stars can leave. Stars can make unrealistic demands. They don't like stars. Even though, as you and I and everybody who watches know, that's all that matters. We watched because of John Krasinski, right? And his friends. That's why you watch Some Good News. Stars do matter, but networks don't like that. So they're kind of proving it by throwing away money. we don't need Krasinski. It's the concept. I'm a producer. I could put anybody in there, make it a hit. Yeah, sure. Anyway, I think YouTube, that's what YouTube likes. YouTube wants creator content, independent content. And I'm really glad, frankly. I was kind of sad when YouTube kind of started to say, well, we should do what Hollywood does. We should do TV shows. We should do movies. No, that's not what put YouTube on the map. That's not what made YouTube successful. And really, this is something, an age-old concept in tech called the long tail. Television and movies succeed with big hits. You know, you make five movies. One of them's a blockbuster that makes hundreds of millions of dollars. The rest lose money. It's still a profitable business. That's kind of, it's a hit-driven business. Music industry, same thing. TV industry, same thing. You look for that instant hit. And of course, they pay attention to the box office on the first weekend. If it's big on the first weekend, it's big. The long tail's kind of the opposite. You don't worry about the initial hit. You worry about the long tail. And there are videos on YouTube that have been there for 10 years that are still making tons of money. Still getting tons of views. That's the long tail. Lots of things that do well for a long period of time. Not platinum record well. Not box office boffo well. Just okay, but they do it over a long period of time. That's the long tail. And that's, I think I'm happy that YouTube finally understood. That's what makes YouTube successful. You know, they look over at Hollywood across the street and they go, my, it'd be nice to have a $100 million box office. It'd be nice to have superstars. It'd be nice to have John Krasinski. But John Krasinski knows he's not going to stick around on YouTube. He's a TV star and a movie star. He doesn't need YouTube. He's old school. And it is where all the power is. You want to get elected president? It helps to have a hit TV show. It really does. It makes a big difference. I don't think YouTube stars, I don't think they have that kind of clout. I hope not. Some of them are really. I don't think PewDiePie is going to the White House. God, if he does, I'm worried. But I don't think he is. No, he's Swedish, so he can't. but then I mention him, and most people go, PewDie who? But if you want to know who PewDiePie is, you just ask a kid, ask somebody under 25. Oh, yeah. He's the number one YouTuber, Felix Arvid Ulf Kjellberg. Now you know why he calls himself PewDiePie. He's been on YouTube for 10 years. He's 30. 104 million subscribers. He can put up a video. He can put up a video and it has a million views like instantly. Like within 10 minutes, that's power. But put him on TV, nobody knows who he is. Yeah, it's a different medium. I love that. We should celebrate that. That's a good thing. It's a good thing. Let's take a break. Your call's coming up, 8888-ASK-LEO. The website, techguylabs.com. That's free, no sign up. That's just where everything lives after the show so that you have access to it. There's also audio and video from the show there. techguylabs.com. She's unbreakable. Don't try, though, because she might be a little more fragile these days. It's the unbreakable Kimmy Schaffer.
Definitely more fragile.
Yeah, we all are a little more fragile, right?
Well, yes, I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I have a shorter temper. I sleep more.
You sleep
more?
I
eat more donuts. Well, I don't sleep well. I spend more time in bed. That's a good important distinction,
oh,
isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Because what else are you going to do?
Right. What else am I going to do?
Yeah.
I know my ceiling by heart.
Oh, you've recognized every nook and cranny.
I know.
You've named them.
I name it. Hello, fan. Hello, corner. Hello, finial. How are you? I should ask in a sincere way. How are you?
All right. You know that little boy who went to the dentist, David at the dentist?
Yes. Is this real?
Is this real life? I find myself saying that about 100 times a day. Is this real life?
It does seem odd, doesn't it? It seems like we're in a, maybe this Elon Musk, the billionaire philanthropist and I don't know what you call him, evil genius, always says we're in a simulation. Do you know the simulation hypothesis? Have you ever heard this before?
No, I don't think so.
So the how can I do this in under 5 minutes? Because I do want to take some calls. So the idea is that as civilization advanced, well, notice video games, right? They've gone in 20 years from being ridiculously primitive
pixelated.
To almost real. Like you
Very
could,
real.
If you look at a video game.
Yeah.
In fact, if you're in a VR game. And you're at a top of a building looking over the edge, you're actually, your stomach jumps
and you
start sweating. You think, oh, I don't want to fall. So that happened in 20 years. Imagine a civilization in 1,000 or 2,000 years. They could create a pretty realistic simulation, right?
Yes, they could.
So Elon Musk thinks we're in that simulation. Like this isn't real life. There are a lot of people that think this, by the way. A guy who first thought this up, Nick Bostrom, says, if we're living in a simulation, the cosmos we are observing is just a tiny piece of the totality of physical existence. It is not the fun. We're not in the fundamental level of reality. We're in a simulation. Maybe a simulation created by us. Maybe we're just playing a game that we're in. Like maybe Kim will wake up. She'll take the blue pill, and then all of a sudden she'll go, wow, that was a terrible game. Let's do it again.
No, I don't know which pill I want to take, give me something.
I think it's foolish to speculate because you just don't know. You can't know. But that's what's the whole premise of The Matrix, remember, mm-hmm. is that what he thought was the real world was just a simulation. Machines put in his brain so that they could continue to use him as basically a human battery. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have brought it up. Yeah, I'm depressing you, aren't I?
Well, I think the favorite thing I saw this week was, never mind. The two astronauts, they had the right idea. They got out of here.
They got out of here. But now they're stuck in space.
Now they're stuck in space, but that might be a better place.
Thank you, Kim. We're going to talk to Scott right after this. I should never have started that. There's just no way you could do the simulation hypothesis in a few minutes. But no, Elon's convinced. But of course, Elon takes a lot of serious drugs.
Does he?
Oh, yeah.
Is that documented?
Oh. Well, he did it on Joe Rogan. He was smoking pot. But yes, he loves hallucinogenics.
Oh, cool.
He loves hallucinogenics. He talks about sitting in the hot tub with his brother and, thinking about this stuff.
Well, he's thought up some pretty amazing things, so.
Yeah, well,
I think for him
it's working because he has a freedom that other people don't.
Money?
But he also can say to himself, it's just a game. I'm not really taking any risks, right? The outcome isn't that important because I'll just press the reset button. right? And then we'll start over. Like in a video game. The consequences of losing a video game aren't great.
No. So you just have to start over again.
You have to start over. So you might take more chances, right?
Yeah.
Right?
But real life, you don't get that reset button.
Well,
once it's over, it's over.
That's what I think, but and I think it would be prudent to act that way. But then maybe it handcuffs us. Maybe Elon Musk,
it does.
Because he thinks, hey, what the hell? The guy clearly takes risks like crazy.
Oh, yeah, I think I'd jump off of more planes and cliffs and motorcycle.
Got nothing to lose.
150 miles an hour. Yeah. Go boating in my brother's crazy boat.
Crazy things on Twitter or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Got nothing to lose. By the way, Elon's taking a break from Twitter. Uh-oh, Scott, you just lost audio? Scott says he lost audio. Would you call him back, Jeff Brockman? I think Scott knows it's not the wardrobe. Scott Wilkinson, our home theater geek, having a little trouble right now. We're going to see if we can get him back on the line. If we can't, we will defer his segment. I think we're going to defer his segment till the next break. That's good, because now I could take the first call of the day, which is Daisy, Huntington Beach, California. Sorry to be so talky, Daisy. Thank you for being patient.
Wow, I can't believe I got through. I listen to you all the time, and I'm not a tech person, but I'm a teacher teaching from home right now, and I'm having a bit of a problem.
Yeah, it's got to be challenging.
Yeah, I'm trying to sign into my Google account that's administered by my school district.
Yeah.
And I'm in some kind of bizarre loop.
Uh-oh.
So, and I don't know if it's a Google issue or a Chrome issue or a device issue.
But you have been able to log into it prior to this.
Prior to this, yes.
Yesterday or Friday or whenever you were able to get through and everything was fine. So
right.
what is the symptom you're seeing?
Well, I go to the Google page, and it already has my school account pre-populated in there. And then the little blue button where it says next, you're supposed to click on that, and that's supposed to allow you to enter your password and
move
on.
Do you do that every time?
No, I don't.
Yeah, normally, and I'm sure this is the case, it remembers, and
right.
You'll see your picture there, and you're on.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Do you see your picture? Do you see your?
Yes.
You do see your avatar, your icon.
Well, the craziest thing is happening. I'll be, let's say, like right now, while I was on hold and listening to you, which is really interesting to listen to you when you're on hold. I've never done that. I've called into a radio show my whole life.
Yeah, we don't hide anything, do we?
Right, it's really great. Anyhow, I'm sitting here and I use this the Google Hangouts. It's like a little chat thing, and I have my students right now chatting with me. What are you doing, Ms. Campbell? What are you doing?
Nice. Da, da, da. Oh, that's great.
And right in the middle of that, a new tab opens itself up without me doing anything at all, and it's the Google sign-in page.
Hold on there.
Yeah.
That's phony.
That's phony.
Yeah.
Well, that's scary.
Was it in your Hangouts window?
No, it just opens a new tab and it goes through that process.
Always be suspicious of that, because especially when you're in a chat environment.
Okay.
It's conceivable somebody figured out how to get in there and is posing as Google. You entered your credentials in.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now you can't get in.
Right. Well, when it takes over, it already has my school account in there. I don't have to enter that. But then again, when I try to click next to go in to enter my password, it just loops right back to the previous page. And it's just, and I see that circle going around the G at the top in the tab. It's just continuously going around.
Did they set up a second factor, two factor for you, or you just enter the password?
Just the password.
Okay. So one thing I would suggest, and the school should do this, of course they don't, because it is complicated, but it's really the best way to secure any account is to use two-factor. Have a Google Authenticator or some other app that gives you a six-digit number that you also have to enter. That prevents this kind of audio hijack, fake, login hijacking. That may or may not be what happened. It just always makes me nervous when I say, I was chatting along and all of a sudden I got a pop-up. It's always suspicious. So what I would suggest you do, you use Chrome for this?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's not happening on Safari. I'm using a MacBook Pro.
And, oh, this is good. And so when you open up Safari, you're in.
Right.
Yeah. I would suggest deleting your Google cookies in Chrome. And to do that, you go into the settings, and I can't remember where Chrome puts that, but it'll be site settings or something like that, content settings, or it might just be right in the front. And you want to see what your cookies are. The way Google knows it's you is it sets a little cookie with a special token that is you and you alone. And when the browser opens up to Google, and that token expires every 30 days. It's not unusual for you to have to re-log in. That's just a way for security to make sure it's you. But then in between times, Facebook does this too, you probably noticed. In between times, it just opens up. Facebook says, should we remember your password? That's not actually what's happening. What it's doing is it's setting a little cookie that says it's you. I would delete your cookies from Chrome. Any cookie that says Google.
Clear browsing data, clear history, cookies cache.
Yeah. Now, you don't necessarily have to clear all of them. Just clear the ones that say Google. What that's going to do is reset so that when you then go to Google.com, and you should do this on Google.com to make sure you're doing it really with Google, right? And in the upper right, it'll say sign in. It won't have your picture because you've signed out by deleting those cookies. It doesn't know you're you. And then try the sign in from scratch is what we're doing. We're deleting all history of Google with you. And then sign in from scratch. If it doesn't accept your password, then you immediately need to contact the IT department at school and say, I need a password reset because I may have been compromised. I don't know if you've been compromised. I don't think you have. I think, honestly, it's just a snafu with the cookie. It's a cookie snafu. And what grade do you teach?
Third.
Oh, how hard is that?
It's really hard. Yeah. It's really hard to do all this remotely. It's the hardest thing I've ever had to do, I think.
No kidding. Do you have a Google Classroom or some other? You do. That's what you're using?
Yeah. And so everything's a Google product that we're doing. We're doing the Google Meet, the Google Classroom. If I can't sign into my Google.
You're in trouble. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to get you signed in. Does the school have an IT person or somebody who's handling this?
Yeah, but everything's a skeleton crew right now. You know, it's a little
somebody has the administrator access to that account.
Yeah.
And that's okay. The person you need to contact if and only if you can't log in. The fact that you're still getting in from Safari does not mean anything because Safari's cookies are intact, so it works fine. You could, if you wanted to verify this, sign out on Safari. You click your head, sign out. It's at the very bottom. Try logging in again. And if you can't log in, if your password doesn't work, then immediately you'll want to contact that person and say, I think my password's stolen. I don't honestly think that that's what happened, but that's something to be aware of. That's why they should have two-factor. They're not going to do it. No school does because it causes more IT hassles, and they have very scant resources, so they're not going to do it. But in the long run, it makes your site more secure, makes your login more secure.
So this definitely isn't a device. I don't need to run out and buy a new computer.
No. Heaven forfend.
Right.
It's just something gone on. No, it's almost certainly what's going on the cookies. So if you go into the cookies and delete just the Google cookies, this doesn't fix it. Then do that setting you saw, reset everything. You'll lose all your history, your cookies. You'll lose everything. You'll have to re-log into Facebook, re-log into anything you don't have to. Because basically it's resetting all those. But sometimes that's a good idea. The browser, what's happened. The browser's gotten confused.
Okay.
It caches is the term we use. It saves in a portion of the hard drive a lot of information about previous sessions. And sometimes if that cache gets corrupted, then weird things happen. This sounds like a weird thing, not a bad thing. So clearing that cache will help. I'd start by deleting your Google cookies only. That way you haven't messed with anything else.
Okay.
Re-logging into your site. This is tough because you don't have really an IT department. The school has probably somebody who does this, but it's you're kind of on your own. And thank you for being a teacher.
The other strange thing is it's happening on this machine, but not on a different machine.
Yeah, that's why it's local.
On a Chromebook.
That's why it's local. Not to the machine, but to your actual Chrome session. So that's why deleting cookies will fix it.
Okay. Whew. Well, it's been really nice talking to you.
Well, and I can't thank you enough, Daisy, for doing what is clearly a very hard job. But those third graders need you, and I'm really glad you're doing it. Thank you.
Well, thank you for doing what you do, too.
I'm not teaching kids to read. You're doing the important stuff. That's hard. Thank you, Daisy. Thanks. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Let's see if we get Scott Wilkinson up and running right after this. Hey, our show today brought to you by our fine friends at Simply Safe. I am always excited about doing Simply Safe commercials because I just believe in them. And I know it's something a lot of people really need. Simply Safe is, simply put, the best home security solution. I guess there's a relationship between security and backup, though, isn't there? In a way, yes. You know, backup secures your hard drive. Simply Safe secures your home house. What's the number one sign of bad home security, right? This is true of software, too. A system that's so complicated, you just never use it. You never turn it on. This is exactly why I recommend Simply Safe. It's simple and it's safe. They spent a decade making it easier and easier, simpler and simpler. It's the right home security for right now when feeling safe at home has, frankly, never felt more important. It's designed to be easy to use while protecting your whole home 24/7. If you go to simplysafe.com/twit, you can order online with a click of a button. Pick the sensors you want, and they've got everything. They've got cameras, motion sensors, glass break. They have water sensors. You put that out by the water heater or in the basement. They have door opening and window opening sensors, all the sensors. But you don't buy more than you need. Just pick the ones you want. They ship it to you. You open the box. You don't need a special install. You don't need a guy to come out in a truck with a butt crack to come out and install it, climbing up ladders, tromping all around your house. You do it. It's easy. Peel, stick, put it wherever you want. They don't mar the home, and they're easy to take with you, which is great. If you move, if you're a renter, this is a perfect solution. Plug in the Simply Safe home unit, and you're protected. Round the clock. No technician, no salesperson, no disruption. You don't need to pay any outrageous monthly fees. You don't have to sign up for a tour. I saw it the other day, home security system, $45 a month, and they required a 3-year contract. That's not Simply Safe. That's not Simply Safe. Very affordable. No, it's month to month. Simply Safe named the best overall home security of 2020, the best by U.S. News and World Report. They have the same quality 24/7 professional monitoring and emergency dispatch. The big difference is it's not $1.50 a day like the other guys. It's 50 cents a day. And again, no long-term contract. It really is a good solution. And by the way, the police responds faster to Simply Safe because Simply Safe, they can verify, the monitoring can verify there's an actual event taking place and it's not a false alarm. The police know that, so they come faster. That's what you want. Go to simplysafe.com/twit. You'll get free shipping and, of course, a 60-day money-back guarantee. simplysafe.com/twit. And do use that address. I want them to know you heard it here. It helps us if you do. simplysafe.com/twit. Free shipping and 60-day money-back guarantee. Protect your family. Protect your home with the simplest and the best. simplysafe.com/twit. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. We got Scott. Scott Wilkinson is our home theater geek, contributor to TechHive.com, an expert in all things audio visual. Were you on the AV squad in high school?
I was. Actually, I was a specialist in planetaria.
Oh.
I had my own little home planetarium that I used to show to the littler kids.
That's really cool.
Which was very cool. Yeah, I had a great time with
that. Did you have a special device?
Yeah. You know how you go to a planetarium and there's just big, giant
things. Yeah.
Yeah. I had a small home version of that when I was a kid.
I didn't know you could get a home planetarium.
Yep. Yep. You can.
Nice.
So I used to show them the night sky and point out the constellations. It was cool.
Wow.
Yeah, indeed.
You are a nerd from way back when.
Oh, way back when. I'm a super nerd from as long ago as I can remember.
No, I want one. That's really neat.
So I think I still have that thing in my
Do
my
you
garage.
Really? Oh, that's neat. Oh, that's so cool. So what are we talking about today?
Oh, I found something really cool this over the last week or two. You know, I do reviews of audio products for Tech Hive, and my latest one, which is just up there now, is for a pair of Bluetooth speakers. Basically, you know, a lot of Bluetooth speakers are a single unit and you can carry them around and whatever. This is from a company called Fluence. I don't know if you've ever heard of them before.
They sound familiar, but if I have, it's only because you've mentioned them.
Well, I reviewed some time ago, I reviewed one of their single speaker Bluetooth speakers. It's a portable thing, and it's, you know, meant to be taken out by the
pool. Well, that's not serious high fidelity.
No, it's not. No. It's not. And in fact, it wasn't very high fidelity at all. So
they've come a long way, in other words.
Well, they sent me a slightly different type of product. This is called the AI60, and it's actually a pair of bookshelf speakers.
Okay.
Relatively large, actually.
Okay.
They come with a 6.5-inch woofer and a 1-inch tweeter. Okay?
I've always said that the size of the speaker does have something to do with the quality of the speaker.
It does.
Yeah.
It generally, in most cases, it does. I can give you a couple of counterexamples, but for the most part, that's true. And especially in the bass, you know, the larger the speaker, the deeper the bass can go. And so what we have here in the AI60 is a pair of bookshelf speakers that look like normal bookshelf speakers, but they have Bluetooth. They're powered. They have their own power amp. They have a Bluetooth receiver. And so you set them up just like a pair of bookshelf speakers. You have to, and interestingly, the right one is where all the electronics are, the amplifier, the Bluetooth receiver, the DSP, everything. And then you connect the right one to the left one, which is completely passive, just like kind of a regular speaker. You connect it with a wire. So there is one wire there. But when you do that and you plug in the right one, you have to plug in the right one to a power outlet. But when you do that, the sound was astonishing to me. It just sounded so good, and especially in the bass. Now, they're relatively large speakers, and so I had hoped the bass would performance would be good, and it exceeded my expectations. It went down really deep. They specify down to 35 hertz.
Wow, that is low.
Which is really low. And that's only 3 dB down, 3 decibels down, and then it rolls off. It gets less and less as you go farther and farther down. But you still have usable output, even below 35 hertz.
These would be good computer speakers, I'm thinking.
They would. They'd be excellent computer speakers, except for the fact that they're really big.
Well, what is really big?
Well, they're like a foot tall.
Oh, that's really big.
That's pretty for a computer speaker, that's really big.
I use the Audio Engine computer speakers, and they're only maybe 6 inches tall, although I do have a subwoofer under the desk, which gives it some nice rumble sound. But I think computers, if you have a desktop, deserve good speakers because we could listen to good music on our computers, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. I tested these using the Tidal music service, right. T-I-D-A-L, using what's called their master library. So it's lossless audio. It's high resolution audio without lossy compression. And I was just blown away. These things just sound so good. Now guess the price.
Well, I'm thinking my Audio Engines for the two speakers are probably $500, and then the sub another few hundred. So that's close to $1,000 for that 2.1 system.
Mm-hmm.
I might not need a sub with these, it sounds like.
I don't think you do.
Yeah.
I don't think you do.
Yeah, how much?
A pair, $300.
Oh, that's really good.
Really good.
That's surprisingly good.
Yeah, yeah.
If you wanted to have a stereo instead of like hooking up to a, it doesn't do like Sonos does. It doesn't have internet radio built in.
That is correct. It does not have radio, and you can't stream over Wi-Fi. That's a drawback of these speakers.
Boy,
it's
that's
only
too
Bluetooth
bad.
Or a connection or a physical connection.
Bluetooth isn't great. Physical connection, of course, is perfect.
Yeah, yeah, and it's got optical and RCA, and you can stream over USB.
Wow.
So you can connect it to your computer, no problem. It just can't do it over Wi-Fi. And that's why I didn't give it a perfect score.
Yeah, I would love to have Apple's AirPlay technology or some other, you know, DLNA, some other Wi-Fi. I, in fact, have a beautiful JBL kind of one speaker, but it's stereo. It's really nice. It's about 3 feet wide, so it does have separation. And I can play to it from my phone. Bluetooth, yes, but AirPlay, which is much better sounding. Much better sounding.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. So, and I compared this Fluence AI60 with Kef LSX system, which is more along the lines of your audio engine. Yeah. It's about half the size.
Kef is considered like this reference standard by a lot of people.
Oh, yeah. These things are half the size, and they do these things that the Fluence doesn't, but they cost four times as much. They're like $1,200.
Yeah.
And they sound really good, but they don't go as deep because they're not as large.
This would be, if you were sending a kid off to college, for instance.
Oh, this would be great.
You send them with a laptop and this, and now they've got a stereo. And even if they're watching movies on their laptop, they're going to have great movie sound, too. That's pretty impressive.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. For $300, I was super impressed.
Interesting. FLU. Sorry, ANCE. We don't want to think about the flu right now. But Scott's review is at techhive.com. The Fluence. They're Canadian, you said?
Canadian company. They've been around since 1999.
Oh. AI60 Bluetooth speakers. It's funny they build them as Bluetooth because they're really too good for Bluetooth sound.
Yeah, in a way they are. Although, again, you know, with the Tidal Master, even over Bluetooth,
it sounded pretty good.
I thought they sounded great.
Do they support
nice and open
the latest Bluetooth stereo codecs like aptX? Because
they do.
That does sound better.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Exactly right.
So that's less compressed, I guess.
Yeah, it is less compressed.
Yeah.
It's a higher bit rate, so higher quality.
And I see that, of course, A2DP, which is the old Bluetooth stereo standard. What's this AVR-CP?
That's actually a more of a control. It has a control protocol built in.
Ah, okay.
So
the highest quality Bluetooth audio codec it supports is aptX.
Correct.
Yeah. But if you connect it, wait a minute. It has digital inputs as well?
Yeah. It's got an optical digital input.
Well, that's going to be great.
Great. Connect your TV to it, no problem. Now, the one drawback there is that the optical input does not support Dolby Digital or DTS bit streams.
You only have two speakers.
ECM. So.
Yeah.
But you only have two speakers, so it's not that big a deal.
Yeah, it's stereo. Yeah.
I didn't knock it much for that.
Yeah.
You know, you send a PCM that is uncompressed audio over optical, it's going to sound even better.
It sounds like it competes pretty well with the audio engines. A little bigger, but a little bigger means a little better sound, you know?
That's right. A little lowered bass for sure. The bass is amazing. I was astonished. And they're sealed cabinets, too. They're not ported, so you don't have to worry about, you know, where they are with respect to, you know, you have to make sure the port is free and clear and not obstructed by something.
Has technology enabled designers to make more accurate speakers?
Mm-hmm.
So they use computers to design the cones or modern materials.
Cones used to
be paper.
Yeah. These things are woven glass composite, blah, 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 something. I don't know. Very high-end components.
Yeah,
and a silk dome tweeter.
So that, you know, somebody asked a couple of weeks ago, I should ask you this. Somebody was looking at a set of speakers with diamond tweeters.
Mm,
I guess the
B&W, yeah.
Yeah. Does the what the tweeter's made of, how important is that?
Well, it's important. You want it to be stiff but lightweight.
Yeah.
You want it to, and you don't want it, you don't want the tweeter material itself to be flexing around.
Because it's vibrating very high. Yeah.
Yeah,
something
very
hard.
High frequency.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You want it to retain its shape very well as it's vibrating very fast. So, you know, diamond, beryllium they use a lot, which is a very stiff metal. So the material that they use is important.
Yeah.
How much better diamond is, I couldn't say, really.
I still want a pair of Klipshorns. I don't care.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Some people love that sound, Klipshorns. Some people hate it.
That's 50 years ago.
and Klipsch still makes horn speakers.
They still sound good.
Yeah.
Scott Wilkinson, read his review of the Fluence AI60 for $300 in TechHive at techhive.com. That's where he's a contributor. And, of course, he joins us each week to talk AV. Back to the phones in just a bit. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Thank you, Scott.
You bet.
you look at your camera? It's a low contrast picture. I'm wondering if it's got if it's just dusty or got a little schmear on it, or if there's light bleeding into it from the top or something. Shade it with your hand over the top of it. Let me just see.
Well, it's already shaded.
Oh, it is. Okay.
It's in a structure.
You see how low contrast it is?
Yeah, I do. I do. Let me see if I can. Let me show the. Webcam settings up.
It's clean. Sometimes it looks like that if it's got fingerprints on it.
Schmutz on it. Yeah. Huh? Let's see. I can up the contrast.
It just seems soft. But you're the video guy, so I don't.
That was too much.
Anyway, I will give you the con.
Thank you.
It's your time. Use it wisely, Mr. Wilkinson. Use it wisely.
I will. I will check my camera for next time. I'll just make sure the lens is clean. I mean, it's in a... Basically, it's in a teleprompter, so it's...
Oh, all right. Well, maybe the screen on the teleprompter's messed up.
That's possible. I'll give the little mirror a swipe.
Shine up.
I only use it for my timer. I have a...
Yeah, the mirror wouldn't matter because the camera's shooting through the glass. It's just the glass, so...
Yeah, yeah. I'll check it out. Thank you, Loquacious. Always great to hear from you. See you here in the chat room as well. Sorry about the mix-up there. I should have just rebooted my computer before I got on here. I saw somebody earlier who said that they had a pair of speakers that worked well, but the woofers had some tears in them. I can't imagine how that would still work well. That just doesn't make any sense for me. Let's see, user 6327, my Pioneer Andrew Jones bookshelf speakers for my computer are a foot tall. Yeah, well, that's about what these are. I may have to get these. Yeah, these sound so good. I don't want to knock Andrew Jones speakers. They're also very good, but they require a power amp. These things are powered, which really helps, especially in a computer speaker. My computer has its own 5.1 HTR home theater system. That's good. Glad to hear that. Edifier a consideration. Yeah, I have a pair of Edifier headphones that are pretty good. I haven't tried any of their speakers yet. Might have to try that. Airport has an optical output. Huh, that's interesting. Let's see here. Hey, Ken Crayley, good to see you here. Joe, yes, the speakers I reviewed would probably be amazing paired with an Echo. They actually do. I didn't mention this on my segment, but they do, in fact, have Amazon Echo capability. You can pair it with an Echo and it will work. I myself don't use voice control, but you could certainly do it. You can also do Google Home. If you pair it with a Chromecast audio, apparently it doesn't have Google Home built in, but it does. I guess it doesn't have Amazon. It doesn't have a microphone, so it couldn't do Alexa without being paired to an Alexa or an Echo device. So either way, you got to pair it to a device. But when you do that, you could certainly do voice commands. Maverick 56, here's the perennial thing. Speaker technology hasn't evolved much. Same technology for so many years. Is there anything new coming out that would be revolutionary? Are we stuck with the same old format? You know, there have been attempts to revolutionize speakers, to really come out with something brand new. And we always come back to the same technology because it works, and it works really well. There's a super tweeter known as an ARC tweeter, ARC, that uses a very high voltage arc across a gap that basically stimulates the air to vibrate. And I think it's interesting for the very high end. We have planar speakers. We have magnetic planar and electrostatic speakers, which are big, thin sheets of a diaphragm that vibrate. Those work very well in the mid and high range, but they don't work well in the low range. And so those speakers from mostly from Martin Logan and Magnapan typically have what's called a dynamic woofer. So a regular woofer, a big cone that vibrates for the low frequencies, because those planar speakers, membrane speakers, just don't work very well. You've got ribbon tweeters, and those are used quite a bit. Basically, a membrane that is formed into a, I don't know what you'd call it. It's a snake. It kind of has a snake profile, and that kind of vibrates. And Golden Ear uses those. There was something called the Emit tweeter from Infinity. There are a number of companies that use those, and those work pretty well. But the real question is, how do you get air to vibrate? How do you get, get air to vibrate and push its molecules in a longitudinal manner from a device to your ears? And the technology that has been used for many decades works really well. Toss link, Tokyo Jim. Exactly right. The optical input is a toss link. Let's see. Tokyo Jim says, you were correcting your spelling there. Can't pass Dolby Digital. I'm reporting what Fluence wrote in their manual. And they said it cannot pass Dolby Digital, regular Dolby Digital.
It may just not have the encoding built into the speaker.
Exactly, right? The decoding.
Yeah, so it might on other devices pass it. I mean, there's no... Nothing to say ToslinQ can't pass whatever you want.
Yeah, it's just bits.
Right.
Exactly. No. This is just because the speakers don't have a Dolby Digital or DTS decoder in them of any sort.
So saying it doesn't pass it probably is not the right way to say it. Saying we can't handle it is probably the best.
They just don't want to say that. Yeah. Exactly right. Oh, no, Mike, man. Hey, Mike, good to see you. Mike was over yesterday helping us set up our video.
Aww.
Mike's a good guy. He's a very, very talented video guy. I just triggered his echo. Sorry, Mike. T1000, yes, streaming Bluetooth with Tidal Master wouldn't support lossless. That's correct. By the time it goes through Bluetooth, it is lossy. So that's true. But I always like to start with the highest quality source I can, because that helps. Corrugated, Archandra. Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. Yes, the ribbon tweeters are corrugated, and they vibrate like that. And that's all the time I have.
Thank you, Scott. Have a great day. See you next week.
Thank you. See you next week.
Take care. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk computers, the internet, home theater, digital photography. We got your smartphones. We got your smartwatches. 8888 Ask Leo. That's the phone number if you want to talk high tech. 888-827-5536. Toll free from anywhere in the U.S. or Canada. I've been using, and I think I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, for the last, two or three weeks, an iPhone SE, the little inexpensive $400 iPhone, and love it. It's small, 4.7 inches, like phones used to be. Remember that? And, the screen, I like a lot more screen real estate. I think that's one reason phones have gotten bigger. But I was really, I'm really impressed with the iPhone SE for a lot of bang for your buck. All the power of the iPhone 11, same processor, same amount of memory and storage and all that. It's just... in a little bit of a different package. And I have to say, since I wear masks when I'm outside, it's really nice to have Touch ID. I kind of miss having a fingerprint reader on the modern iPhones. They only do Face ID. And, of course, if you're wearing a mask, they go, who are you? And you have to enter in your passcode to get in. I guess I can live with that, but it was kind of nice just to have Touch ID. I've remembered how easy and fast that used to be. One of the negatives is having that big fingerprint reader and the big home button takes up a lot of space in the front, so your screen is even smaller on the small device. I could live with it. Anyway, I had my iPhone 11 Pro Max had failed. The video was weird and jumpy, and I sent it in to Apple. It was under warranty, 6 months old, something like that, a little more, 7 months. Sent it in. They repaired it, actually, I think. I'm pretty sure. In fact, I am sure they replaced it with a new iPhone because I got a letter from them saying what they had to fix, and they said the logic board, that's the big motherboard in there, the display, and the battery. Oh, and you have a new serial number. And I'm looking on this, and I don't see any of the slight, you get a little wear on any phone, even if you keep it in a case. The hairline scratches on the screen and the slight scratches on the metal on the outside. That's a brand new phone. So thank you, Apple. That was a free, warrantied repair, and they completely replaced it. Did it fast, too. I think they got it. I FedExed it last Monday, and they got it back to me Friday. So that's pretty good during these. And I didn't have to go to a store. I didn't have to touch it or anything. So, but when you go from the SE, I hadn't held the iPhone 11 in a few weeks. This thing's heavy, this 11. Holy cow. It's big. Big, I guess I can live with. I like a big screen, but man, it's a hefty. It feels like it weighs a pound. It's funny what we get used to. Larry on the line from just down the road a piece in Petaluma. Hi, Larry.
Hi, Leo. How are you today?
I'm great. Thanks for hanging on.
Yeah, thank you. We spoke about 3 weeks ago, and I was looking at getting replacing my old Samsung fluorescent backlit LCD TV, and I was trying to see if it would pair with my older Denon AVR receiver.
Yes.
Long story short, I did get a new 55-inch Samsung QLED.
Nice. Yeah, you like it.
Beautiful picture. I like it. I love the picture. And with some consternation and perseverance, I managed to get it to work with the receiver. I had to actually reset the receiver for some reason back to factory.
Huh.
But all that said, it's working fine. The only issue I'm having is when I'm watching it for like an hour or so, I started to get a lot of nervous system agitation. When I'm watching it at night, it's been giving me some slight headaches and affecting my sleep.
Oh dear.
So yeah, that's what I said. So,
are you sensitive to flashing or anything like that? Do you think it's the screen imperceptible, but still receiving screen flickering, something like that?
Well, I don't obviously see anything. And what's odd about it is that I am sensitive to fluorescent lighting. So one
which has, by the way, the same problem. It flickers. It's fast, so you don't notice it. But right.
Okay, well, it's possible that's it. Or I know that some screens put out a blue light spectrum that affects people, and it's not good at night. So I guess my question is, I'm going to try. I've gone back to my older TV. I didn't remove it yet, and I'm going to reset up the new one today and watch it for a while. See if I get the same effect. If it doesn't improve, the question is the QLED technology any different than Sony's or LG's LED technology? And what I might have better luck with one of those brands.
Well, in theory, yeah, it is. It's different. In theory, it's more accurate. LEDs do not flicker like fluorescents do. So that is not a fluorescent backlight. That's an LED backlight.
Right.
I would go into that. That TV should be capable of 120 hertz refresh rate.
Right.
So I would go into the TV settings. And while I normally say turn off things like screen interpolation, you might mess with that. And you might see if you can – they call it sometimes motion or action or clear view. I can't remember what Samsung calls it.
Yeah, it's action motion plus.
There you go. What that's going to do is give you a higher refresh rate, or maybe you want a lower refresh rate. I don't know what it is that's triggering your nervous system. So, but you might, since you're sensitive to fluorescence, which do flicker, it might be the actual refresh rate of the screen is you're perceiving it. unconsciously perceiving it. You wouldn't see it. Anything as even 60 frames per second, you shouldn't see any flickering at all.
Yeah.
But I would take a look at, I don't know what your particular model is capable of. I would take a look at that action and set it to as high a refresh rate as it will tolerate. Okay. The reason I don't normally do that or recommend it is because it makes, you know, it's so funny. There's a visual effect. It started with motion pictures, which are 24 frames a second. It's a dreamy kind of look because it's not very accurate. And as you increase the refresh rate, it's more and more accurate. So what happens when you watch a movie at these higher refresh rates is they look too real. They lose that dreamy quality that we're used to in motion pictures. They look like video. But it may solve this issue that you're having with whatever, if it's the flickering with whatever. So,
So Leo, would the standard versus dynamic versus movie settings on the
that's just the color.
Difference?
No, that's just the color.
That's just color.
That's
okay.
Just color.
So I'll look at this.
Yeah, so I would look at the refresh rate, you know, and it sometimes is in that action setting. What else could it be? Make sure, you know, somebody's saying, make sure you have a good HDMI cable. If the cable's, you know, I remember that you had an older receiver. I would try feeding it directly from whatever source, the cable box, your Roku. Feed the TV directly. Bypass the receiver for a bit. Make sure the receiver is not introducing flickering, because sometimes an older receiver or bad cables will lower the refresh rate, even at the chat room saying as low as 30 hertz, which you would be perceptible, I think. So I would definitely play with flickering. That's the one that's most often the cause of any neural issues, any sensitivity. Boy, that's interesting. Anybody listening have an issue like that? Of course, if you got an OLED screen, if you replace it with an OLED screen or a plasma screen, those don't have the same issues with refresh. They do refresh the screen, but it's not a flickering because they're direct view. There's more flickering or probably more perceptible flickering because you have LCD shutters opening and closing. That's a really interesting question. I haven't really plumbed this particular issue, the issue of kind of neurological symptoms with modern televisions. But if anybody's having a problem or knows somebody who has and knows of a solution, I guess everybody's a little bit different, right? But that's fascinating. That's fascinating. I hadn't really thought about that. Do you have problems with computers? Or computer screens, because those are LCDs as well. Computer screens, this is my theory. Computer screens tend to run at higher refresh rates. And it may be the TV's running at a lower refresh rate. Yeah, so get that refresh rate up. We don't normally recommend you turn up the refresh rate because it gives it that soap opera effect, you know, the action settings. But if it keeps you from getting a headache, it's probably worth it. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. We'll go back to the phones right after this. Podcast brought to you today by Worldwide Technology, WWT, and their ATC, their Advanced Technology Center. I'm kind of fond of these guys. We went out to see them in March in St. Louis, and I was just blown away. One of the things, it's kind of interesting, one of the things that they showed us, and I said, guys, you're not even mentioning this in your ads. It turns out, really, WWT is more than the Advanced Technology Center. It's more than an enterprise consultancy and vendor. They do everything having to do with tech in business. And one of the things they showed us, I was so impressed with. I said, can we talk about this on the ad? They do software development for their customers as well. And they do it better than anybody. They know the DevOps model. They know the Agile model. They are able to develop software for your business better than anyone else. Custom solutions. And they do it, and I think this is so important, by listening. They do it by collaboration with their customers. Great software as we know, can change lives, it can transform businesses, it can disrupt industries. And WWT has the people and the technologies and the agile development techniques designed to solve your toughest challenges. They just won a Webby Award for one of their apps, by the way. It's that good. They worked with a hospital to help patients and families navigate the complex journey through healthcare, right? They created a custom software app for the hospital where care teams could interface with patients, where families had all the info they needed at their fingertips, from even including like travel arrangements, scheduling appointments, wayfinding. Of course, all HIPAA compliant, it has to be. Within a year, the hospital started seeing results. Reduction in preventable readmissions for patients, better aftercare. Fewer days spent in the hospital because of virtual care. Very important, fewer septic shock deaths occurring in patients treated remotely. They won a Webby Award. They won a Webby Award for this. It's pretty impressive. WWT delivers end-to-end digital experiences that blend the best-in-class software development, state-of-the-art, with the strengths, capabilities, and expertise of a multi-billion-dollar technology integrator, WWT. If you're looking for the rare partner who can deliver both strategy and execution, that's really key, isn't it? Strategy and execution for your next project, WWT is a great partner. I'll give you another example. One of America's favorite sandwich chains. I don't want to say the name, but you can figure it out. Brought digital transformation to their more than 1,500 stores. The customers came to WWT. Their investment in next-gen technology crossed, I mean, every board. They did mobile, kiosk, point of sale. They had a loyalty program. And the technology is positioned to scale as the company grows. They already have 1,500 stores, many more coming. And it really has enhanced this company's ability to deliver best-in-class service. Just another example. Here's another one. Grocery store. Big grocery retailer. You'd know the name. They wanted to improve their customer experience. This was before COVID. In fact, I saw the app when we were out there in St. Louis. And now, are they glad they have it? Let me tell you. They created a custom app, a loyalty program. They even did enhanced signage, on the wall. WWT helped the chain achieve its 2 and 3 year goals in less than 1 year. And, you know, it's interesting because planning well and executing well has the benefit that when unexpected events happen, like quarantine, your company is well positioned because you've thought this out. You didn't plan for quarantine. You didn't plan it for, you know, being a remote grocery store, but you had it all there, so you're able to do it. How do they do it? Agile software development from planning and ideation to delivery. Very modern, very effective. And the thing that's really key with Agile is they work with the customer every step of the way. So you get exactly what you need. They also do DevOps, which is really as much a process as anything else. People, processes, technology, and continually delivering services and value to your customers with speed, stability, and availability. A lot of times when people talk about DevOps, they're just using the buzz phrase, the word. This company lives it. They do it internally. They can help you do it. They also are experts in container platforms like Docker and Kubernetes. Cloud-native technologies and best practices help you rapidly create services that can scale and perform. They do it all. That's why I'm such a fan of WWT. I loved going there and meeting the guys. They love what they do, and they want to help you. Solve your toughest challenges with the software experts at WWT. They've got the experience, the discipline, the track record. Custom software solutions that provide real value. My only regret is we didn't go to them when we were trying to do our app. I wish we'd been working with them, man. Maybe we will next time. I know we will next time. Transform your business. Deliver great experiences through WWT's wide range of software services. Go to WWT.com/TWIT1. That's TWIT and the number one. WWT.com/TWIT1, worldwide technology, delivering business outcomes and modernizing IT infrastructure. And some of the best people you'll ever meet. WWT.com/TWIT1. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888. Ask Leo. Let's get back to the phones. Line 3, Jake in Denver, Colorado. Hello, Jake.
Hey, Leo, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for being so patient.
Yeah, no worries. I'm glad I'm talking to you. I love the show, and I have a bit of a riddle. I'll give you a little bit of background. So, like so many other people, I have transitioned from an office environment to a home environment.
Yeah.
At my house, I have a three monitor setup that I drive off of my laptop through a Dell D6000 docking station. It's got two DisplayPort outs and
nice.
One HDMI out.
Very nice.
Thank you. The HP laptop has a USB-C, and everything is driven directly off of that. So I can have a Zoom meeting going on one monitor, a spreadsheet on another monitor, and my email on another monitor.
Now that's productivity. That's awesome. That's probably a better setup than you have at work. That's great.
Well, I basically replicated what nice. I have at work at home to be able to do it. Here's the problem. I have an older PC. Still does good. I've made some upgrades to it, and we're talking circa 2013, 2014. It's got the maximum amount of RAM. I don't do any heavy gaming, maybe some light video streaming. It does just fine. Upgraded to Windows 10, no problems whatsoever. Here's the issue. If I look at the fine print in the D6000 docking station, it says that if I drive it through something with USB-C, it'll support three monitors.
Right.
If I drive it through something with a regular USB, like a 2.0 or I think even a 3.0 USB, it'll only drive two.
Right.
So I started down the path. Let me tell you a couple things that I've tried. I've started down a path of putting a USB-C on my older PC. So I have open PCI and open PCIe slots. The first thing I did was I got a PCIe card with a 19 pin that says that it supports USB-C. I ordered that card, put it in, ran the cord to a front-mounted USB-C port, still two monitors only. So the next solution was I ordered a PCI card that had a Type-E 10 gigabit per second Gen 3.2 20-pin header on the card. Put that in, it accepted it, installed, no problem. Ran that 2010 to a front mount USB-C. Still
starting to sound like car talk. Yeah, then I get a dual Hemi on the quad. And I can cut through it a little bit here. So there's two issues to the number of monitors you can drive. One is bandwidth, obviously. USB just didn't have enough bandwidth to drive. I mean, that's a lot of pixels it's pushing. Each monitor, you know, is thousands of pixels. Now you're tripling it, so it's a matter of bandwidth. USB-C is not USB-C. That Type-C connector probably is using DisplayPort over either USB-C or Thunderbolt. So it's got more bandwidth. In other words, when you went down to USB 2.0, not enough bandwidth. So you put in a Type-C card, but there is a second issue besides the bandwidth. It's what the video card can handle. That older machine may not have a sufficient powerful video card to drive three monitors. That could just be a limitation.
Yeah. Well, no, you're probably right, because it's just an integrated graphics card. There's no like outboard graphics card.
You'll have to look at the specs for that older machine. It's not that old, but it's not unusual. I mean, usually if you're going to drive many monitors, you're going to have a graphics card, a discrete graphics card that has some more capability than just the Intel onboard graphics. I would bet that's what the problem is.
So I have a question then, because the goal here is for me to take my laptop, unplug one cord from this docking station into my laptop, it lights everything up. And then when my kid or my wife comes in and says, hey, I need to get on the home computer, I simply take the USB-C out, plug it into a potential puke, right?
Yeah.
So is there such an animal as a graphics card that has a USB-C out so that I could accomplish that? Or am I like having to like,
well, you can get
just a lost cause.
You can get cables that have HDMI on one end, or, you know, but yes, I'm sure there are. Actually, that's a great question. Are there any discrete graphics cards, GPUs with USB-C out? Mostly they're HDMI out or DisplayPort. Let me check. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Let me just check. Does the RTX 1070, that's a fairly inexpensive card, not the state of the art, Let me see if you can get a Thunderbolt out, because that's probably what it would be, not US. It look, this part of the problem, this is confusing, is because it looks like USB-C, right?
Right, right.
It's not. It's okay. Not USB. It's a Type-C connector.
But it's Thunderbolt.
But it's Thunderbolt. And that has video aboard in some cases. Not all. That's the other problem. It can, that Type-C connector can have all sorts of capabilities, and they're supposed to, but they never do, silkscreen what its capabilities are on the... But they're not going to do that on a laptop because it just jumps
so
it up.
Is there such an animal as a PCI card that's just got a Thunderbolt out?
Yeah, there should be. I don't see why not.
Maybe I'll try it. Maybe I'll give that.
That's what you want. You don't want USB Type-C. You want a Type-C connector with Thunderbolt. That's what you've got on the laptop, the HP laptop.
Got it. Got it.
And that's why it all works. It has
great info.
Yeah, data, it has power, and it has a DisplayPort video over it.
All right. Yeah. Leo, keep up the good work. Thanks for your
help.
My
pleasure. Take care. Bye-bye.
See ya.
And in fact, here is from Evil John. Thank you, Evil John. A list of GPUs that you can use. Let me look at this link. Is it Type-C GPUs or... Yeah. It's perfect. Every graphics card and laptop with the Virtual Link USB-C port. Virtual Link is not the same thing, though. See, this is the... Yeah, there you go. That's not it. That's not what you want. Oh. Type-C is very... So don't call it USB-C. Type-C. It's not necessarily USB. That's the problem. So confusing. Type-C can be USB 3.1 or can be Thunderbolt 3. Very different. Looks exactly the same. Hello, Johnny Jet.
Hello, that's
Hello,
pretty
my
good.
Friend.
You're making Johnny Cash proud.
So Johnny is our travel guy, and there hasn't been a lot of travel, but you know what? It's over.
Picking up.
COVID-19's over. Get on out there. Go have fun. Vegas is open. You just said Universal
Orlando is
open.
Universal Orlando.
What are they doing, though? They've got to be doing something to protect you a little bit, right?
They definitely are. And obviously, you're joking about COVID's over.
Because it ain't.
It's not, because they actually had the highest amount yesterday, I think. But it just feels like it. No one's talking about it. It's actually kind of nice relief from it. But, I mean... If you're around vulnerable people, like my dad's 91, I'm not going to get on a plane and go see him. And I'm not going to go out to these other places, expose my kids, because you just don't know. But Vegas is now open. A lot of hotels, and more and more are opening this week and next week. And one of my friends was there, and I watched his Instagram, Lee Abamonte. And, you know, so they are like at a blackjack table, there's three people instead of six normally. So they're cutting that. Although, you know, that's really not spacing it out. And no one's wearing masks that I could see from except all the employees are. And same thing with the Universal Orlando. You know, they
don't make the guests wear masks.
Well, the employees wear masks. And at Universal Orlando, everyone has to
wear
masks.
I know the employees do, but the guests need to too, right?
In Vegas, they're not. I mean, I looked at the video, and just a few people were wearing masks.
Huh.
So
interesting.
They're not policing that.
Interesting.
It, same way as like some airlines are policing it and some aren't. So, and it might just not only be airlines, it's also the flight crew.
I think if you're outdoors, a casino is not out of doors, but if you're out of doors at Universal, what about the rides though?
Yeah, boy, so what they're doing is they're doing, like, if you're on a roller coaster, it's every other seat.
They separate you, okay.
They separate it, and you don't sit next to a stranger. So if you're by yourself, you'll be in the car by yourself. They wipe it down after each person. They have hand sanitizer.
This is a great experiment. I don't mean great as in wonderful. I mean great as in large. And it'll be interesting to see what the result is of this. I am not taking the chance. I am absolutely not going to gamble. I'm not going to even go to an amusement park at this point. I would certainly not get on an airplane unless I absolutely had to. But it is possible to try to protect yourself.
I thought about it. Actually, American Airlines has a double miles offer right now where it literally, if you're a member of their Advantage Frequent Flyer program, it takes 20 seconds to sign up. You just have to click, log into your account and click the link. I'll actually tweet it out. Actually, I just scheduled a tweet. I'll put it in the chat room. And you have to do it before June 30th for flights through September 30th. But, you know, when I was thinking about it, going to see my dad, I was like, I just can't take the risk. And one of my friends who I have emergency doctor room friends, and they're like, you're crazy to get on a plane right now.
That air is coming out of the nozzle is sterile, right? That's safe.
That's sterile. That's clean.
Somebody said, point that air at you. Have it blowing at you.
I said that. That's what I've done.
You said that.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you always wipe everything down.
But that's not the case on regional jets. So if you're on a small jet like L.A., San Francisco, which we're flying now, that does not work.
That's recirculated air. You don't want that air.
Because they're older planes. They don't have the HEPA filters.
And you want to sit in a window seat so you are seeing fewer people going up and down the aisle. Face away from the aisle.
Yes, in a window for sure. I would sit in the back row so the person behind you is not breathing on you.
Good point.
Also, what was I going to say? Man, I just forgot what I was going to say about. Delta is now blocking the seats. I mean, they've been blocking the middle seats.
Yeah, the middle seats should not exist. I've seen airlines though with middle seats. They shouldn't have middle seats. You're sitting your cheek by jowl, literally.
It would be nice, but it doesn't matter because if the person right behind you has it, you're still going to get it because they're literally a foot away from you or 2 feet possibly if you're not reclined.
I understand. I mean, it's summertime. Lisa keeps saying, when are we going somewhere? I understand. I mean, I want to go somewhere. I want to do. I would be going on vacation in a couple of weeks, but we canceled it. Of course, I'm older. I don't want to get anything. The more I read about this disease, the worse it sounds.
It is, and they say with people with high blood pressure, it's double the chances of dying. My advice to people right now is to sit back, see what's happening with this. Wait a few weeks. And see if
spikes. That's what I mean. It's an experiment.
Let other people go.
Yeah.
It's great that they're open. If they want to do it, it's
and
their
now
life.
I want to stay away from other people because the chances are higher that the person coming at you down the sidewalk may have just been to Vegas. You don't know. So,
speaking of that, by the way, yesterday I had my first takeout in 2.5 months.
I've been doing that. That's safe. You can't get it from eating.
It is safe. Yeah. But we talked about it a couple of weeks ago that someone sent me these things called touchitsafe.com.
Oh, yeah. I love those. I ordered a ton of those.
They're basically finger condoms.
Yeah.
And
they're little rubber tips. They're like what they are is like the end of a balloon. It's latex. You put it on your finger.
Yeah. So when I went and had to pay for my thing, I used Apple Pay, but they still wanted me to sign with my finger, which I thought was ridiculous.
I had this on, and I was like, boom. Yep. Yeah, or you could use a stylus if you have a touch stylus to do that.
And if you're going to your doctor's or whatever, bring your own pen. Don't use one of their pens.
Yeah, Lisa was just at the dentist. They wanted her to sign something. She said, I'm not using your pen. I'm not touching anything. They said, well, you have to sign this. I said, sorry, I'm not signing it. I'm not using that pen. Well, now, I would say, and I open my boxes. If I get takeout, I unpackage everything, plate it up. Just wash your hands before you touch your face. Don't know that your hands are contaminated potentially, and you just wash them or you sanitize them. Better to wash them, and now you're okay again. It's like
that's what they say. I mean, that's why I did it because everything I've read said the food is safe. It's just the boxes that are coming or the bags. You need to be careful.
You don't put that on your kitchen counter. You take it. You plate it. You take those bags. You put them in the recycling. And then remember not to touch any, you're walking around like a doctor after being sterile. You walk around with your hands in the air and then you go to the bathroom and you wash your hands. And now you're okay. It's not going to fly into your face from the packaging.
For sure. And by the way, back to that pen, bring a pen if you're traveling internationally.
Bring a pen.
Because passengers are not going to want to share with you. Flight attendants don't have enough.
Yeah.
And if someone does share with you, then you have to risk that. But a lot of places are starting to slowly open up.
Can you still get wipes, though? You can't even get wipes anymore.
Well, most airlines are now handing you a little single packet.
Oh, good.
So they're encouraging you to wipe down your seat.
Okay. So what do you think? When are you getting on a plane?
I'm just waiting to see. I'm going to wait a few weeks.
Yeah.
I am tempted because, I can use my miles for pretty cheap. I don't have to worry about getting elite status for next year because they've already extended everyone who's an elite flyer.
I have to say, we've gotten now all our refunds. It took about 3 months to get our cruise refund. It was from Silversea, which is owned by Royal Caribbean, but they did. Every penny got refunded except for the small, you know, fee. And our trip this summer all refunded, so I got all my money back. So I feel a little bit better about that.
So people who are waiting to wait to see if they cancel. Although the first European river cruise sailed this week, Nico, it's a German carrier. What they're doing is they are making people walk in one direction. They're doing for meals.
That sounds
There's
like
no buffet.
So much fun.
Separate seatings.
Wow.
Oh, there's a lot of different things going on.
Yeah, because the news was so depressing and heavy over the past week with George Floyd, and we kind of forgot that we were in a pandemic, but the pandemic didn't forget. So,
I couldn't think really much about anything. I watched the news and just, you know, a lot of times I cried.
Yeah, all I could do is just sadly watch the news. Johnny, stay well, stay safe. And stay off that plane. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. I know, that's not what the travel industry wants me to say.
But, hey, I don't. That's what I'm telling people, the same thing. Do not fly right now.
Yeah.
Unless
my
you
son
have to.
Survived. He was in Bali. He flew home on a plane.
Well, he was in Vietnam, which is now the safest, they say, is the actual.
If he could have stayed there, it would have been great. But one of the ways it's safe is they wouldn't let him in any stores. He was, as a foreigner, he was not, he said, I have to get out of here because it's getting harder and harder for me to do anything. I can't eat. I can't go to stores. So that's how they became safe, is they really shut down. And so he did have to leave.
Vietnam is getting high praise right now
for
the way they handled it.
They did a good job.
And they have, I mean, Australia too. I talked about it a couple of weeks ago, I think. I interviewed one of my friends who's Australian, and she flew to Australia. I put it on my podcast, and it tells you all about how what it's like to fly to Australia and what it's like to arrive in Australia. You're immediately quarantined for 2 weeks.
Where?
They have no cases. They're doing a bubble between Australia and New Zealand and maybe the
South Zealand,
Pacific.
Same thing. They're doing very, very well. But it helps if you're an island. You can keep people out.
It really
right?
does. But Australia is the same size as the continental U.S. with a tenth of the population. But they're not allowing their borders are closed. Even their state borders are closed. Or I think they might just be opening them up now. I'm not 100% sure on that.
Well, aren't the U.S. borders closed? There's not a lot of.
No,
you can go anywhere you want, huh?
The only one that's really strict right now is Hawaii. Maine is making people do a 2-week quarantine. You know, they're supposed to in Florida, but no one's policing that.
And Florida is one of the places that's spiking, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's where my dad is. I'm worried about my dad, obviously. I'm worried. Yeah.
I'm worried. So worried about my
cautious,
mom and dad.
His caretakers might not be.
Right. That's the problem is that. Okay, I'm not going to go to Vegas, but who knows who around me is and what they might bring back. I mean, Petaluma's been pretty good, but...
My dad wants me to take him to Vegas for his 92nd birthday in November.
No, Dad, sorry. It'll be your last birthday.
Hey, he doesn't care. He's like, my dad's like, I'll go out on top. And, you know, if he wants it, I would do it.
Actually, don't blame him, but going out with COVID is not a good way to go.
Not
a good way. Plus, you'd be all alone. You'd be looking through a window at him.
Right.
And that's not good either.
You know, he likes to gamble. He might be willing to take that risk.
He can bet at home, can he?
He likes the horse. He likes the ponies. I mean,
he likes the social part of it, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I have one quick question. Do I have time for a quick question?
Yeah.
So I have a bunch of old laptops. Should I, you know, try and I'm afraid I have information on there. I don't want other people to. Should I take?
Yeah, that's the problem.
I hate to destroy them. But.
No, don't destroy them. You can wipe the drives.
Yeah, but some people say that you can still, even when you wipe it, you can get
SSD drives. There is potential for data leak, but if it's older and spinning drive, you can wipe it. This is imaginary that you can, even after you've wiped it, that you can recover data from it. You can't. So there's a program, free program called Derek's Boot Nuke, DBAN. I think it's DBAN.org. Derek Boot and Nuke, DBAN, DBAN. And it's DBAN.org. You put it on a USB key. They'll explain how to do it, and then you'll go from laptop to laptop, run it, and wipe it, and that's sufficient.
And how about old external hard drives that are like 100 gigabytes that are, you know, or 50.
Those are probably not, I would not hesitate to destroy those. Take, open them up, take out the platters. Be careful, sometimes they're glass and damage them.
Okay.
And then just recycle them. Because they're so, nobody's going to buy those. Nobody wants them.
Okay. It just feels like
that's
a waste.
Good, that's a great question. I should do that on my Ask the Tech Guy.
All right, please. And I'm happy to call in for you.
I will have you call in. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888, Ask Leo. That's the phone number. Line four is Kathy in Ventura, California. Hi, Kathy.
Hi.
Welcome. Thanks for hanging on.
Oh, well, thanks for taking my call. We actually came in to your studio long before.
Oh.
I really enjoyed it.
Nice to see you again. Yeah, that's one thing I miss. I haven't had anybody in studio in months for obvious reasons.
I bet. Yeah. That's good. Well, I have a quick, I hope it's a quick question. I'm a part-time college instructor. Well, not really part-time, but I teach at a variety of schools, and, you know, it's all online. It's all going to be online in fall. So, of course, I'm, you know, tied to the front of my computer constantly between Zoom meetings and synchronous classes and, you know, office hours and all of that. I have been using a MacBook Pro, which I loved. It's a 2016, and it works fine, and usually when I'm working at home, I have it plugged into an external monitor. The problem is now I need the camera, so I can't have it closed. And so I open up the laptop, and now I've got a monitor, and pretty soon I have no place to do anything on my desk physically. So I was thinking of buying just a regular iMac so that I've got the camera.
Good.
I've got a big enough screen because I've got to have, I have to have more than one screen going, and I've been trying to do with the laptop open and the monitor, and it's just, I'm always moving one around for the other so I can see. I wondered if that's, you know, if you had a recommendation for, you know, I'm all Apple, so it's all connected. If I noticed on the Apple website, they've got iMac Pro. I mean, yeah, the Pros.
Don't get a Pro. That's really expensive.
Okay.
Yeah.
You don't, yeah, you know, I noticed.
Yeah. I have a Pro, and honestly, I was talking about this the other day. I also have, so the Pro, my Pro is 64 gigs of RAM, 10 core Xeon processor. I mean, it's crazy overkill, right? Crazy overkill. It was I can't remember, $6,000 something. It was nuts. I don't know what I was thinking. But in theory, that's super fast, right? I also have a MacBook Air, which is super thin and light and has a notoriously sluggish processor in it. I can't tell the difference. The stuff I do 9 times out of 10, I can't tell the difference.
Yeah.
So these high-end super-powered devices of any kind, computer devices of any kind, are for people who are doing things that are particularly challenging. Video gaming would be one. You're not video gaming, I don't think.
No, but I am having to record a lot of stuff.
That's not hard.
I'm using Snagit and YouTube.
That works fine. That's going to work fine. If you had to edit multiple 4K streams, that maybe you'd want, you know, and you're using Final Cut, you might something heavy duty, maybe.
No, I'm not.
No. Yeah. Most of the time, I mean, what, I don't know what I was thinking. I guess, you know, my wife's like that. She says, I don't care what you get me as long as it's the fastest. Honestly, nowadays, all computers are fast enough to do most of what we do.
Sure.
What your unique need is multiple monitors.
Yes.
And by the way, I use with my iMac Pro two other monitors, two Apple Cinema displays. So I have three 27-inch monitors in front of me. I love it. Love the real estate.
Okay.
Love the real estate.
Right.
But you can do that with a regular 5K iMac.
Okay.
One thing you'll notice.
I need a camera.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing, by the way, Apple is notoriously bad with it. The cameras they put in their computers are awful.
Really? Okay.
Well, but the one I have on the iMac Pro is good. I don't remember if the iMac 5K, which is the next step down, that's also expensive. They make a 21 inch as well. But it sounds like you lot need screen real estate. So
I do. I do. They have multiple things going at once.
Here's a couple of things I would say. One of the things you should look at when you buy an iMac is the drive. The default drive they sell, I do not like. It's called a Fusion drive. It's a mix of a spinning drive and an SSD. SSDs are cheap enough now. Just get the SSD.
SSD. Okay.
16 gigs of RAM, more than enough. You don't need to go higher.
Okay.
8's a little low, though. I'd go with 16. And then it's up to you whether you want to get the 5K iMac or the step down from that. But I think the 5K iMac is just beautiful machine. And I'm going to check because I think it has a decent camera now. So the older eyesight cameras, like the laptop's cameras, are terrible. But you were using your laptop camera, and you didn't mind, right?
Yeah, it's fuzzy.
I don't really care.
I don't need clarity when I'm talking to
you. I understand. But I just, it's frustrating to me that Apple sells a premium product with a sub-premium camera built in, you know?
True.
But the other problem is you can't nowadays go out and get a camera. There's such a demand because everybody's zooming. That they're,
right, and I like the convenience.
Yeah, it's nice to have it built in.
The microphone right there, because I'm just, you know, always online with all of this stuff and lots of training coming up. So I need stuff that's going to work.
It's not going to be cheap. You don't need the i7. You don't even need the top of the line processor on this. I would get the 1799 3 gigahertz processor, and then put the extra money into a better hard drive, not the Fusion drive. It has a good graphics card, so that means it can drive two external displays, which is great. You might need an adapter to get the second display, depending on the kind of display you have. It does have Thunderbolt 3 video. So if they're all...
Okay.
But you have older... I bet you're going to use older monitors, so you might need adapters. But it'll work. It'll work fine.
Yeah. Okay.
Let me just look at the camera in this thing, because I'm sure it's a junky... I can't believe Apple's choice.
For the money they charge, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's the one... Everybody complains about it. It's the one thing Apple really... could do better, and they did do a better one in the iMac Pro, but I paid a lot of money for that thing. I mean, you're going to pay a lot of money for this thing too, but it's okay. I think the 5K 27 inch is what you want. It has two Thunderbolt 3 ports, which means you can use two Thunderbolt 3 monitors. You might have to get an adapter if you have a monitor that needs HDMI or DisplayPort, but that's easy to do. Those are just different cables.
Okay. Yeah, I'm looking on the, as you're talking, I'm looking on their website. So you're talking about the 3.7 gigahertz, 6 cores.
Don't go all the way up to 3.7. I would say get the 3 gigahertz. No.
That's why I'm calling you.
6 cores, 3 gigahertz. That's enough. I don't anticipate you needing more than that. Like I said, that was my whole. That's the moral of that idiot story I told, which is that I spent $6,000 for a computer that, for my uses, is no faster than a $1,200 computer. You know. But that's sometimes live and learn.
Well, yeah, I guess so. Well, they always say the most you can get for your money, but I don't know if that's true.
That's not true anymore, no, because...
Yeah.
And that's really that's the real lesson of all this, is modern processors, even the slowest of them, are all really fast now. I mean, 3 gigahertz. They're fast enough to do anything that normal people want. It's only if you're doing high-end video gaming, you're launching rocket ships, you're editing, you know, 4 or 8K video that you really need stuff like that. You don't. That's high-end. For zooming and capturing screen, Snagit's great. That's a great program. That doesn't require a lot of horsepower.
Okay.
That's more about the video card. Pardon me?
And Camtasia, I know, is I'm still learning how to do that one to edit, that this one would work well with
Camtasia's
it.
Camtasia's great. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right.
Yeah,
okay. I think that's a learning for me.
Yeah, I think you're going to be very, very happy. If the webcam doesn't live up to snuff, there are ways to hook up a standard point-and-shoot camera to it. That'll give you 20 times better picture. If at some point you want a better picture, somebody's telling me B&H does have a good USB webcam for $50 available. Okay. So that's nice, because for a long time these webcams have been out of stock. Everybody's been zooming.
We're all online now.
What do you teach?
I teach the subject everybody has to take but doesn't want to, is English. At all levels, I teach business writing and freshman composition.
So important.
It's
depressing
when I
see how poor the writing, even on many blogs where these people are professional writers.
Yeah.
It's depressing to me, the quality of the writing.
It is, and
good.
It's hard for a lot of students to be online this next fall. But
oh, I know, I feel for them. I feel
for
them.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough transition for these kids.
Well, thank you for being a teacher, because I know it's just as hard for you, Kathy. So thank you.
It is. It's a lot of learning for me. So, but thank you for your show. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Healthy and well.
You too. Thank you. Well, hey, 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 how are you today? Leo Laporte here. It's Tech Guy time, talking about computers, the internet, home theater, digital photography, smartphones, smart watches, anything with a chip in it. 8888-ASK-LEO is my phone number, 888-827-5536, toll free from anywhere in the U.S. or Canada. Outside that area, you can still reach me, but you might need to use Skype out to do it. 8888-ASK-LEO, my phone number. So glad to have you aboard. Episode 1701. Somebody in the chat room says, the Starship Enterprise episode. Yes. NCC 1701. That's a lot of episodes. Long time we've been tackling people's tech problems. Long time. Website, I don't know if the website goes back to the very first show, January 4th, 2004. It should go pretty far back. We have recordings of all of that. I know on our podcast feed you can get that. I just don't remember if the website goes all the way back to episode one. I do, but not. I don't know if the website does. The website does have the last, say, 10 years of shows for sure. All of that is available at techguylabs.com. Free, no sign up, no, you know, we don't send you a newsletter. I'm not going to spam you. That's all, you know, just there. I'm too lazy to do a newsletter, to be honest with you. And I'm too, it's too complicated to charge you. So I feel like this information ought to be free. Go there, techguylabs.com. There's a pretty good search. You can go show by show. You can go hour by hour, question by question, audio and video, each show after the fact. It's all there, techguylabs.com. Carolyn in Victorville, California is next. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi.
Hi.
Yes, I believe that I have a solution to the gentleman caller who said that he had headaches from looking at his screen.
Oh, good. Yes.
Okay. I had the same problem for my computer. I had headaches, nausea, dizziness. And what you do is you go to your optometrist or ophthalmologist, and they apply a light blue tint to your lenses, your glass lenses,
uh-huh.
And it solves the problem entirely.
So he wasn't sure if it was the frame rate or the blue. But for you, it was the blue. And so they're filtering out the blue. And, yeah, because tech screens are blue. They have a blue cast to them.
Yes.
And so it bothers you, that shade of blue?
Yes. It was a nightmare. I almost gave up on computers entirely.
Well, I'm glad you found that.
This is works like a dream. So
I did get special glasses. I wear them when I'm sitting at my computer at home. From the optometrists that are designed for computer reading. They're slightly magnified, so they're like a little bit like readers, but they also have a blue blocker in them. And I think that really does help with the eye strain for everybody, not just people who are super sensitive to it. But for you, it's a necessity.
It's a necessity.
Yeah.
So they also told me to treat them with fine kid gloves, so I used that cleaner from Costco.
Good.
And put them in a felt-lined box, and it's just been fantastic.
Probably the blue blocker is a filter applied to the lens, I would guess, and so for that reason, it could be scratched. So, yeah, that's sensible. Very good to know. A number of companies sell these. Somebody in the chat room is talking about Gunnar.com, which is, one of the companies that sells special glasses for computers. And I did as you did. I had my optician do some. I had my prescription, and I asked the eye doctor, and they said, you could do this, and we'll turn up the magnification just a little bit, a quarter of a diopter, something like that, and then we'll put the blue in to ease eye strain. And certainly now I can't sit and look at my computer without wearing those. Maybe I should try them with the TV. Very good. I'm so glad you called, Carolyn.
Well, thank you for your wonderful show. I love it.
Oh, well, I'm so glad you listen. And
yes. This
is the best part of it, when we can help each other out. So I really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. In fact, I'm thinking now maybe I should wear my computer glasses all the time. Problem is, because they're slightly magnified, they're designed for screens, like computer screens, at arm length. And so when I forget to take them off and put on my regular glasses and I go watch TV, it's too far. I can't focus. It's too far away. Basically, I'm wearing readers, so that's not good. Yeah, Gunnar makes them. I'm familiar with the Gunnar, GUNNAR.com. We had a sponsor some time ago that made special computer glasses. Can't remember the name. But I think probably the best thing, if you wear glasses already, best thing to do would be ask your eye doctor to prescribe something special just for that. That's a good idea. Carlo, Ontario, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Carlo.
Hi, Leo.
Welcome.
Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure. What can I do for you?
Well, I was wondering if you could tell me if I did good.
You did good. I know you did good, Carlo. Go ahead. Tell me what you did.
Well, I bought a new router, AX6100 from Asus.
I love the Asus routers. I can tell you right now you did good.
I wanted a mesh system, but I have some concerns.
Yes.
So they're affiliated with Trend Micro.
Right.
To use their AI protection, their quality of service features, and all that stuff. So is this a privacy concern, or?
I don't. That's an interesting question. I would read the privacy statements at Asus about your router. Privacy is always a concern, because any program you run could, in theory, be recording what you're doing. Any hardware you use could, in theory, be snooping on your activities. And a router, just like your internet service provider, the two of them together know everything you do online. In fact, your router may even know more than the internet service provider. So there's always that risk. First of all, I trust Asus, ASUS. So I doubt they would make a deal with Trend Micro that would give Trend Micro any information. But if they did, it would be in the privacy statement. And the reason I say that is the risk of a company like Asus, you have to understand, there are privacy geeks out there everywhere, constantly analyzing the output of these devices, looking at what they're doing. We've learned a lot about TVs that monitor your usage and computers and all kinds of devices. So I think it would be so risky for a company to lie in their privacy policy. Not only would, you know, somebody post it on Reddit and the world would say, never buy another Asus router again, and then they'd also be risking a prosecution from the Federal Trade Commission. There's just too much of a risk. So the key is, a company will tell you in their privacy policy what they're doing. Read it carefully. Right. Don't be overly scared by it. There's always a little boilerplate in there that protects them. But what you want to look for, the thing you're particularly look for, is if your data is ever handed over to a third party. Anytime, you could even search the privacy statement for third party. And if you don't find it, that's a good sign. But if they're handing over your data to Trend Micro, for instance, now, yes, there's a real cause for concern. Now you have to go read Trend Micro's privacy policy, plus the level of indirection, that one layer of indirection, that makes the whole thing suspect. So I trust Asus. I use Asus routers all the time. Did you get the AI mesh or the Lyra? Which one did you get?
The mesh.
So I think that's, that's their new one. And I think that that's probably a really good system.
Okay. Any recommendations for optimal settings?
Gosh, I could go on and on and on. I'll tell you the base settings for any Wi-Fi router. This applies to everybody who's using a Wi-Fi router. Very first thing you do is you change the password. Okay.
Yeah.
It's not admin. Make sure you put in you can't change the admin part, the password to log into your router. You can't change that, but you can change the password. It doesn't have to be perfect, but it should be a good password. That's step one. Step two, turn off something that, I don't know what Asus calls it, but typically something like WAN administration. It's essentially the ability to change router settings remotely. You don't want that. You only want somebody inside your network to do that. That's a specialty feature, and it's a bad idea. You don't want a bad guy to be able to log into your router. So change WAN settings. Turn that off. I always turn off Universal Plug and Play, UPnP. That's a setting that was created by Microsoft for Xboxes. But it's the idea is that a device inside your network, in your home network, could change router settings, could open up ports so that it could serve. And the reason they did it with Xbox is so that you could host games on your Xbox. In order to do that, they had to have the Xbox be able to tell the router, okay, if somebody wants to play this game, let them in. That's completely safe and not a problem, but the capability is because, as you might imagine, if somebody got into your system, malware got into your system, it too would have the ability to tell the router, let any of my friends in. They're good people. And the router would just go, okay, sure. So I always turn off UPnP. That's the only time that's a problem turning it off is if you're serving Xbox games. And there are ways around that. You can open up ports, things like that. Finally, turn on WPA encryption. Ideally, WPA PSK encryption. That's going to make sure your Wi-Fi has a password on it, and that keeps anybody from using it. If your router, your new router, supports WPA3, I don't know if any routers do yet. That's coming. WPA2 has been, unfortunately, has been cracked. So WPA2 is not perfect, but it's better than nothing, and you definitely want to turn on WPA2. Wi-Fi Protected Access, that stands for. Those are the four things I do on every router right away. There are other things you might want to play with. The nice thing about the ASUS, it has some of the best software out there, and it's very capable. So as soon as you log into your ASUS, you'll see page after page of settings. I would leave them. Do turn on automatic firmware updates if it has it. If it doesn't, then you need to go check periodically, probably monthly, to make sure you've got the latest firmware.
Right. Okay, great.
All right.
Could I squeeze in one last thing?
Certainly. Go right ahead.
Awesome. It's a tri-band router.
Yeah.
Now, it's using the third band as the backhaul for the mesh node.
That's how mesh works, yeah.
So is that a good setup? Because then it's like a dual-band router.
Well, first of all, you don't need tri-band. All routers, all mesh routers need this special channel for the backhaul. And I'll tell you why. In the old days, we would just use extenders. But the extender would spend half the time talking to the router, then half the time talking to your laptop. Half the time router, which means it would cut the speed in half. So a Wi-Fi extender is half as fast as the router's capability. That's what mesh changed. Mesh, by giving a dedicated frequency to the backhaul, meant that the mesh base station could talk to the satellites without slowing anything down. The satellite had full-time access to your laptop. So that's really important. You do want that. Tri-band just means there's two 5 gigahertz bands and there's a single 2.4 gigahertz band. But even within the 5 gigahertz, there are additional bands. I don't think that makes a difference at all. Mesh is always going to use one band for its back talk, and that's important. You need that. That's what mesh does.
Right. Should I make it unavailable for anyone to connect to that band?
No, don't worry about it. The router can do that. The good news is the router knows what it's doing.
Yeah.
I really like ASUS. I think they've put a lot of effort into making great routers. And the other thing that's really important with any Internet of Things device, but particularly your router, is that it updates. And updates is, ideally, it updates automatically. If it's not, then you really have to check regularly, because a security flaw in your router is a big problem. But ASUS, I think, should have an automatic update. Any mesh router should have an automatic update.
Well, this one doesn't, actually.
All right.
I have to
put a little flag in your calendar. Yeah. Just check regularly.
Right. All right. Thank you, Leo.
My pleasure. Yeah. I think you made, to answer your initial question, you excellent job. Well done. You did the right thing. Yeah. I'm a very big fan of those. I use at home. I don't use them. I use one at work. We have a demo network that uses my old ASUS, which I love a lot. and my servers all run on the Asus. At home, we use Eero and Netgear Orbi, both of which are really good. But if you like messing around with your router, and who doesn't? Well, maybe you don't. But if you like messing around with your router, I think the Asuses are very good for that reason. A-S-U-S. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. More calls coming up right after this. Deke DiBartolo, too, in about half an hour. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Let's go to line two. Carlo, Ontario, Canada. Hi, Carlo.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes. I'm calling regarding the iDrive.
Oh, this is Gabriel. I'm sorry. I pushed the wrong button. Hi, Gabriel. Welcome.
That's right.
iDrive. Yes, the sponsor.
Yes, yes. I started using it, and I had started using it for online backup. And then I started using it to back up my C drive on a – well, at first I had done it, and I wasn't sure how to do it at first. So when I ended up doing it, I ended up backing it up back to the C drive, which is not what I wanted it
to
do.
Yeah, better not to back up a drive onto itself. Only because if the drive fails, there goes the backup.
Exactly. Yeah. I tried to back it up onto the external drive, which is the G drive.
Yeah.
And I did that, and at one point it would save it to there. And a lot of times when I would do it manually, it would save it to the G drive. But then I would notice when I come back to the computer, I would notice my C drive is almost empty.
Uh-oh.
And then I realized it's the iDrive.
Yeah, you better better delete. First of all, delete that iDrive backup on the C drive and maybe go in and make sure you don't have two local backups set up. That could be the problem.
Because that's the thing I'm not sure about. I don't know how on the program, because it just shows the one. It seems to just show the one drive. Would it be maybe best for me to uninstall the program and reinstall?
Oh, you don't need to do that, but you might need to delete the settings. You know, this is more of a question for iDrive. Send them a note that, you know, you don't need to call them, because this is pretty straightforward. Or maybe better yet, go to iDrive.com and search their support articles. Because I'm not sure exactly what's happening. Normally, what it says, when you first set it up, it says where do you select the location to back up to, and you selected G, but it sounds like it's going back to C. Sounds like it's confused. But iDrive probably can help. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. How do you like your love? How do you like it? How do you like it? That's a blast from the past. Wow, it was such a simpler time, wasn't it? Or at least that's my memory of it. Matthew, Lake Arrowhead, California. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Matthew.
Hey, Leo. It's an honor.
It's great to be here. Thank you for listening. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I remember being 13 and seeing you on tech TV way back then. But
I take some credit for making a lot of geeks in my time.
No, it was wild. Back then it was like a niche thing, too. It was this weird channel. You never got these niche channels. Yeah. So it was really cool.
No, I tell you, that was, looking back, probably the greatest thing ever. It was so much fun. We only did it for 6 years, 1998 through 2004. But I still talk to people every single day like you who say, yeah, I was a kid when I was watching tech TV.
Yeah, it was about 98 when I first saw you. So cool.
Thank you.
Awesome. Yeah, well, I've got a 2012 PowerBook, and for about a year I bought it used. You'd have to have it plugged in for it to stay on. And then the battery would drain really quick and it would die. And then eventually it stopped turning on. So I'm very handy with computers. I've built computers, and So I thought it was a power issue. I've done all the power cycles, the shift, the hold down 30 seconds, 10 seconds, every combination. So
that's not that. I can tell you what it is. It's the battery.
I bought a battery.
Oh.
And I replaced it, and it turned on right away, and then it turned off about a minute or two later. So I was thinking, was there a little bit of juice? I've tried.
So yeah, it's not charging. That sounds right. Yep, you had the right thing. Now I presume you tried a different charger.
I did. I actually bought another charger.
That's the first thing to fail. Those things fail fast.
And I replaced the MagSafe receiver, so I got a new charger and the piece inside. And I got that used through Amazon. It's
I'm sure it's fine. Yeah.
So next step was I've heard the logic board. That's very rare, I think, to have to do that. I've looked at the caps. And either if there's a solution or if there's a resource, because if I Google over and over, everybody's answer is do the power cycles.
Yeah. Nobody knows. You're, first of all, I went through the things that are obvious. Battery, charger. As soon as it becomes circuitry inside the computer, that's when it starts becoming difficult. I would look at ifixit.com. It's okay. Always a good resource. They have videos and they have teardowns and they do all sorts of stuff. But honestly, if it's, you got an Apple product, Apple doesn't like anybody go in there and mess with it. Right. It's great you were able to replace the battery. Was the battery accessible or did you have to open it up?
Yeah, you have to open it up. It's one of those chocolate bar rectangles.
Now they're glued in. Now it's even worse. So, but that was good. That was a good instinct because an older machine, the batteries die. And in fact, it was a great diagnostic because there was enough juice on that battery that you were able to use it. But it wasn't getting charged. Correct. So we now know that's the problem. It's not getting charged. If it's not the power adapter, it's not the MagSafe, and it's not the cord. Now it's something inside, circuitry inside, and that's pretty darn hard to replace.
Okay.
Apple won't even, if they were to go, if you were to take it to them, they would, by the way, quickly know what's wrong. Mm-hmm. In fact, if you look around, you might be able to find the diagnostic software Apple uses. They use special software that nobody's supposed to have, but it seems to have leaked out somehow. And it might give you a better idea. It's, probably the power regulator. The converter, it's somewhere in there. And generally, when Apple sees something like that, they just replace the logic board. That's because that's easiest. They don't want to desolder. They don't want to put a new chip on. It's too much work for them. They just replace the whole thing. But that's the most expensive repair you can do. That's essentially the whole computer.
Yeah.
That's going to be a $500 to $1,000 repair. So, but it just may be that you don't have any choice because... these things are surface mounted now. It's not something you can easily unplug and put in a new one, but maybe it is. I don't know. I would try bring it to the Apple store and at least get a diagnostic. They'll charge you for the diagnostic, but at least you'll know what's wrong, and then you can decide. It's a hairy repair. It just depends on how ambitious you are and how good you are with a soldering iron.
Right, and it's nice to tinker and then learn.
You didn't pay a lot for this thing, right?
No, not at all. So and that's why
it's a good experiment. Yeah.
Yeah, and then you learn, and then now it's like, okay, it's past trying to purchase and save, so I might as well go seek somebody else.
Yeah. And they can, just say, look, dude, I don't want to spend any money to repair it. It's too old, but I'm curious what's wrong. Because sometimes it is something easy and cheap and simple. Sometimes a nickel part that snaps in which, like the MagSafe adapter, in which case, I'd like to do that. But it sounds like you've done all the easy things.
Yep.
Yeah. Power cycling is not it. It's almost certainly not getting charged. And I bet you if you look around, of course, you can't run it, can you? So that's part of the problem.
Yeah.
It doesn't even run. One thing to try, this is weird. Some laptops will run if they're plugged in as long as there's no battery. So you might just take out the battery and plug it in and see if it works.
I haven't tried that, but
I've seen that work. It's a weird thing. I guess it's because it's running through the battery. So if it has to do with the battery charging circuitry, maybe taking the battery out of the loop and just having the power go directly to the computer, maybe that'll work. That might work too,
because when I bought it, the guy said he showed me it was a brand new battery, and I thought he was jipping me because it wasn't performing well. But you can see that it only had a couple cycles and that it wasn't. So maybe there is an issue that power going to battery.
Yeah. The other thing, you can, in software, I think you've done this, reset the power management unit. Have you done that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the things they recommend. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think it's probably something more difficult, but one more thing to try. One more easy. I always like to do the easy things because the hard things are hard. But if it's just, maybe taking out the battery and having, and then you wouldn't have a battery, but you could use it, which it'd be worth, right? Dustin, all the way from Joburg, Johannesburg, South Africa. Hi, Justin.
Hi, Dustin.
Dustin, I am so happy to talk to you. Thanks for calling.
Oh, man, I got to tell you, I've been listening to you since, never mind, it's been a long time. I was living in the States back when you were on Tech TV. I've seen it all. Listen, Leo.
Yes?
I sit here every night and I watch your show on weekends. And most
Thank
of the time,
you.
Unfortunately, for the people that live in my house, my TV is taken up with...
Bless you, Dustin. That's so nice. I'll be imagining you in Johannesburg now. That's great.
Yeah, well, then you can come visit me and fix all my stuff.
Deal.
Anyway, I do a radio. they won't even let anybody travel into this country right now.
Oh, so I know.
There's no planes in or out.
Yeah.
When it's done, you come visit. And we'll make
deal.
Some food.
I've anyway, always wanted to go.
Listen, I've got a radio show I do here 9 to 12 every morning.
Nice.
And I've been doing it for the last 2 months at home.
Where's your show? Where's your show, sir? People listening.
It's on TuneIn Radio. It's on a station called Radio Today Johannesburg, and you can search Radio Today Johannesburg, and my show is called Miller Time Radio Live.
I love it. So, I'm going to be listening. Hey, hang on. We have to take a break. Awesome. We've got the Gizwiz coming up, but I want to keep talking to you because I like talking to famous people. Hang on, Dustin. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Radio Today Johannesburg. Awesome. And what is it, a talk show? Is it music? What do you do?
We do a little bit of everything. I interview cool people. I get to put podcasts together, which I put on Anchor. Thanks to one of your guys, I was on a different platform, and because he was on Anchor.fm, I said, that might be a better place.
Anchor's awesome, isn't it? Yeah, yeah.
I see it because it lets me put all the podcasts, go down all the different platforms now.
It's
which
so
I
easy.
Wasn't able to do.
I know, and it's free.
The other
it's
one, yeah.
So easy. It's brilliant. It's kind of transformed everything.
100%.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, for sure. So I just happened to be watching one day, and I saw at the bottom of his, under his name, it said Anchor FM, and I said, let me check that out. So I did, and I don't remember who it was. One of your guys, one of your regular guys. The problem I'm having right now is the way I'm going into the radio station, I'm actually sending everything out to my MacBook Pro, which is a 2009 model. I'm running, which operating system is this? Let me just open up. 10.11.6. I cannot run anything newer with this, with this Mac.
Okay.
And the foremost Apple expert for South Africa lives 2 kilometers from my house. He worked for App Corporation, and now he's got his own company. And he said, I need to get you into a newer machine. So I know, but I like this machine. So the problem I'm having is the internal sound card running out of my mixing desk into my Mac. From my Mac, I'm using a program called BUTT, B-U-T-T. Do you know it?
No.
Broadcast using this tool. So.
Oh, what a good name.
But it's funny. Yeah, but it works. It's used for a lot of people doing online radio and everything, and it works for me. We're an AM station. We're on the satellite provider in South Africa, and obviously we stream on TuneIn. The problem I'm having is most of the time, 90%, it's crystal clear. There's a small percentage of time, and it happened to me on Friday's show. I had to actually reboot the entire machine and throw it back to the main studio because my sound card starts making this distorted clicking noise.
I know all about this. We have this problem all the time with headset mics. There is, I think, a chipset that has a memory leak. It's almost exactly 1 hour into using it. We call it Cyloning. It happens so often. It's a and if you it's USB.
I had a podcast the other day.
Yeah, it's USB, right?
No, it's not. I'm going into the 3.5.
Okay, so first thing to do, stop doing that. Stop doing that. You'll be much better off.
Should I use I have an external sound card. I have an M Audio. Should I use that?
Yes. Use your M Audio, your Scarlett from Focusrite. Sure makes one. There's a lot of them. They take standard audio and make it USB. Then the Mac is getting a digital signal. That's right there. Probably going to fix it. And that doesn't have to be expensive. You already have it, so use the M Audio. See if that fixes it.
In a cupboard, I just didn't think I needed to use it.
Yeah, that will fix it. Yeah,
So I go out of my mixing desk to the M Audio, and then from there to USB.
Yes.
All right.
Now you're going instead of analog. Now you're going digital into the Mac, which is much better.
Mm.
You're taking all of the RF out of it, out of the equation, bad connections, those micro headphone jacks, mini. Those are terrible. So USB, absolutely. Use the M-Audio. If it's still happening, then somewhere in your chain, maybe the DAW, I don't know, is got a memory leak. And powering it down and powering it up, not the Mac, but the other thing should fix it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, because I got to tell you, since I've been doing the show from home, I like it. I don't want to go back.
I know, I love it. It's Dustin. It's so great to talk to you. Miller Time Radio, that is fantastic. Yeah. Miller Time Radio live on Radio Today, Johannesburg. I'll be listening.
Thanks, Leo.
Thanks, Dustin. Take care. Everybody, get on the dance floor. Let's do the line. Oh, yeah. Now it's girl skate. Now it's go backwards. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. We're out on the dance floor with Dick D. Bartolo. He's Mad Magazine's maddest writer. We call him our gizmo wizard, the Giz Whiz. Hello, Giz Whiz.
Leo, how you doing, pal?
I am feeling great. How are you?
I'm doing good, too.
You're staying
Oh, my gosh. The city, you don't have any curfew out there, right?
No. Well, boy, I've been watching the TV in New York City. It's terrifying. Are there protests in your area?
There was, but it was very peaceful. They just marched down.
I think most of them are peaceful now. Yeah, all of them are peaceful. On the other hand, some of the New York City police are not so peaceful. So I would just stay inside if I were you.
No, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Take care of yourself.
Thank goodness that we can all do this from home. It's just better.
What a world we're living in.
I know. In the past year, it's like everything is moving. Things that you thought were there forever.
I feel like
Monday we start phase one.
I feel like we're on the balance on a fulcrum, where it could go either way. It could go really bad, really south, or this is an opportunity for us to launch into a new era, an era of peace and justice and love for all, regardless of race, creed, color. And I would love to see that. And so that's my hope.
That would have made this all worthwhile.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think a lot of the fractures in our society, a lot of the problems in our society have been brought to the surface by this quarantine. Income inequality. There's just so much. And racism. And so it's coming to a head. But we got to hold on and just push it in the right direction. It's going to be good in the long run, I feel. I hope.
I hope.
Yep. Anyway, we're old, so it doesn't matter.
That's right. I said to Dennis, hey, thank God we're so old.
I know. Can you imagine my kids, my poor kids? They're in their 20s.
I'm wondering if the birth rate is falling off from people going, why would we have a child?
Well, I think it went up at first. Don't you think in the first few days of quarantine? Right about Christmas time. There are going to be some babies. We're going to have the COVID bump. So Gizwiz Dick D. Bartolo joins us to talk about the toy store, the fun stuff, the gizmos,
well,
the
Leo,
gadgets.
I had a fun thing happen this week.
Yes.
Only because it is the first time I was totally ripped off buying something on Amazon.
See, that's what I'm saying. Good things can come out of bad.
Yes.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
This is a throwback to 30 years ago when I used to do mail order rip off, like on Regis. We had the furniture we bought for $30, and it turned out that it was doll furniture. Yeah. Okay. Well, that died because it's easy to rip people off just scamming them. So little did I know, I belong to a lot of websites, a lot of emails where they just send in sales they see on other websites. And they said, go to Amazon now. There's a company that sells yoga mats, regular $50, and they're offering $40 off with this code.
$8 yoga mats? What could possibly go wrong?
And I'm thinking, well, you know, I'm going to get two. Even if it's a joke, I'll get two.
You might. How you bad might can need it be? Two.
Well, when they handed me, the postman handed me an envelope that said yoga mat.
Oh, no.
The first thing I did was weigh it. And I said to Dennis, I think a yoga mat should be more than 5 ounces.
Oh, yeah.
Including the packaging. So I opened my yoga mat, and it is a generous 24 inches.
2 feet.
Right, by 10 and a half inches wide.
Oh.
Right. But I have two of them, Leo, so I can either have a 24-inch yoga mat that's almost 2 feet wide.
But what's scary is this is advertised on Amazon. And
absolutely.
It looks like
look
a real yoga mat.
Look at the photo.
Yeah.
And the copy says, heavy duty, durable mat for men and women, great for home gym.
It's thick.
It's thick. It is thick. It's just that they took like a yoga mat and sent everybody 11 inches of it.
And I have to, wait a minute. If you look carefully, it says 60 centimeters by 25 centimeters.
Yeah, but that says strap.
Oh, that's the strap.
It's totally.
The strap's too big. Oh, there's the dimensions.
Oh, there, yeah.
There's the dimensions. It's the last image. And they do it metric because they know nobody's going to.
They do it metric. And then it wasn't until it came in the mail I went back and looked at it. There are no people on any of these mats.
Oh, yeah. No, they never have a picture of a person.
No.
Unless it's a really tiny person. Yeah. It's a baby yoga mat.
It is a baby yoga mat. Well, the great thing is down at the marina, I'm forever hammering nails back into the dock. So this is a perfect kneeling mat.
Did you not read the reviews of this mat?
Oh.
There are.
My review is pending. I sent in my review and a photo, but it's still pending.
Here's one that says, impractically small. Another says, atrocious. It's a doll-sized mat.
But you notice they're all brand-new reviews. So when I bought it, one had reviewed it yet.
Right. So, probably it was brand-new. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm sort
That's
of amazed.
That's hysterical.
That,
how does Amazon let that happen?
I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, someone in the chat room says, yoga mat for Charlie, my dog.
I like it. On your website, you say, yoga mat, that's a placemat.
Yes. Stingy yoga mat, generous placemat, your choice.
Yeah. Well, here's the deal. If you want to read more about the yoga mat that Dick is not recommending, although it would make an excellent knee pad.
That's what I'm using it for.
Yeah.
Thick enough for that?
Yeah, although $8 seems a little pricey, frankly.
Well, it's actually 10.
Then now that I know the dimensions, that's way overpriced. actually, I think that's what these are, is knee pads. I have some knee pads for my gym that look exactly this size. And they look this thickness.
That
yeah, so
that could be.
Maybe it's a language issue. you can read all about it. Gizwiz.biz is his website, GIZWIZ.BIZ.
Oh, Leo, before I forget.
What? The
last
light bulb?
Week,
your terrarium light bulb? Yeah, what about it?
There's still a glow after 1 week. Remember I said the manufacturer said if you left them on, it would burn out in 4 hours? Well, it is now one full week, and they are glowing. So you get about 4 days of actual light, and now you get some glowing out of it.
See? So what you lost in the knee-sized yoga mat, you gained in the light lasting longer than they promised. This is the beauty.
You always find the silver lining.
The beauty of the GizWiz. GizWiz.biz. Play the What the Heck Is It contest. A chance for you to win an autographed copy of Mad Magazine. And, of course, you should all be listening to GizWiz.tv, his podcast with Chad Johnson in its 15th year of production. That's a long time. Supported on Patreon. And it's a really wonderful show. You and Chad do a great job. And of course, we keep doing, we keep stick around with Dick after the show because he does our Giz Fizz PM, our afternoon. Well, I guess it's not PM exactly. It's late afternoon tea time. It's the tea time Giz Whiz, right after the radio show. Thank you, Dickie D.
Thank you, sir. I'll talk to you next week.
Have a great okay, day. Bye. Stay safe. Thanks to Lady Laura, musical director. Good job today, Lady Laura. Thanks to Kim Schaff for answering the phones. Most of all, thanks to you for geeking out with me this week. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. Have a safe geek week. Well, that's it for the Tech Guy show for today. Thank you so much for being here. And don't forget, TWIT, T-W-I-T. It stands for This Week in Tech, and you'll find it at twit.tv, including the podcasts for this show. We talk about Windows on Windows Weekly, Macintosh on Mac Break Weekly, iPads, iPhones, Apple Watches on iOS Today, security on Security Now. I mean, I can go on and on. And on. And of course, the big show every Sunday afternoon, This Week in Tech. You'll find it all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next week with another great Tech Guys show. Thanks for joining me. We'll see you next time.